జయం సుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయ చరణారవింద భక్తివేదాంత గోస్వామి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం నిత్యలీలా ప్రవిష్ట విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్త సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదికి అనందకోటి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధా కృష్ణ గోప గోపినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధాగుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన్ ధామ్ కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్ కి మధురపురి ధామ్ కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్ కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్ కి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర్ ప్రేమానంది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గౌరంగ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్ నమో విష్ణు పదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతి భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిని నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవీం గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణే. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరాంధస్య నంజనశలాకయా చక్షురుమిళితాం యేన తస్మై శ్రీగురవే నమః. శ్రీచైతన్యమనోభీష్టాం స్థాపితాం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపకదా మహ్యం దదాతి స్వపదాందియం. వందేహం శ్రీగురు శ్రీయుధాపదకమలం శ్రీగురుం వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణరఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనాసహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపదాన్ సహగణలలితాం శ్రీవిశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ. ఓం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామినిది నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవీం గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణే. నమో ఓం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతి భక్త సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతీతి నామినే శ్రీవర్షభానవి దేవి దైదాయా కృపాబ్ధయే కృష్ణ సంబంధ విజ్ఞాన దాయినే ప్రభవే నమః. మాధుర్యోజ్వల ప్రేమోద్య శ్రీరూపానుగ భక్తిద శ్రీగౌరకరుణాశక్తి విగ్రహాయ నమోస్తుతే. నమస్తే గౌరవాణి శ్రీమూర్తయే దీనధారిణి రూపానుగ విరుద్ధావ సిద్ధాంతధ్వాంధహారిణి. నమో గౌరకిశోరాయ సాక్షాద్ వైరాగ్యమూర్తయే విప్రలంబరసాంబోధే పాదాంబుజాయతే నమః. నమో భక్తి వినోదాయ సచ్చిదానందనామిని గౌరశక్తిస్వరూపాయ రూపను గౌరాయతే. గౌరావిర్భవ భూమేస్త్వం నిర్దేష్టా సజ్జన ప్రియ వైష్ణవా సర్వభౌమ శ్రీ జగన్నాథాయతే నమః. వంశకల్పతరుభ్యాశ్చ కృపా సింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం భవనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. నమో మహావదాన్యాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేమ ప్రదాయతే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్యనామ్నే గౌరద్విషే నమః. పంచతత్వాత్మకం కృష్ణం భక్తరూపస్వరూపకం భక్తావతారం భక్తాఖ్యం నమామి భక్తశాత్వికం. హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగత్పదే గోపేశ గోపికా కాంద రాధాకాంద నమోస్తుతే. జయదాం సురగౌపాంగోర్ మమ మందమదేర్గది మత్సర్వస్వపదాం భోజౌ రాధా మదనమోహనౌ. ദിവ്യബൃന്ദാരണ്യകൽപ്പദ്രുമാദശ്രീമന്ദ്രത്താകര സിംഹാസനസ്ഥൗ ശ്രീമന്ദ്രാദാ ശ്രീലഗോവിന്ദദേവൗ പ്രേഷ്ടാലിഭി ദിവ്യമാനൗ സ്മരാമി ശ്രീമന്രാസരസാരംഭി വടതടസ്ഥിത കൃഷ്ണൻ വേണുസ്വനേർഗോപീർഗോപിനാഥാശ്രിയേസ്തു നാഹം തപ്തകാഞ്ചന ഗൗരാംഗീ രാധേ വൃന്ദാവനേശ്വരി വൃഷഭാനുസുതേ ദേവി പ്രണമാമി ഹരിപ്രിയേ ജയ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭോ നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈതദാധര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ 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 രാമ ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ Krishna says in this ninth chapter, first thing is idam tume guhyatamam pravakshyami anasuyave jnanam vijnana sahidam yajnatva mokshase ashubhad. The first verse Krishna is saying this most confidential knowledge of the soul brahman is he will reveal, says to Arjuna, because Arjuna is free from anasuyave, free from all misconceptions or preconceived perceptions about things Arjuna didn't have. So Krishna says, therefore you are qualified to hear this knowledge, jnanam vijnana sahidam, and this knowledge along with the realization, Krishna is saying that yajnatva mokshase ashubhal, after realizing this you get released from all other inauspicious things. Inauspicious things means that means birth, death, old age, disease and identification with the body. They are all the inauspicious things what has happened to us due to material identification. With the bodily identification we have become slaves of body, mind, intelligence, which we are not. And in that falsity we continue to exist in this material life, and life after life we repeatedly we have to change the body here. That is why Krishna is saying ashubhad, inauspicious it is. Changing body is considered to be inauspicious. Krishna doesn't appreciate that very much. After saying that, Krishna mentioned this king of knowledge Raja Vidya is the most confidential also, Raja Guhyam. For the reason being, pavitram idam uttamam, it is most confidential because even though spoken, it is not easily captured by the people. To get it, you got to go through the process what Krishna is going to speak now. And he also mentioned that it is the most purest form of knowledge. All other knowledge which is influenced by the mind and intelligence is not considered to be pure. Anything, any knowledge which is which is within the field of mind and intelligence is not considered to be pure. That's why Krishna is saying they are pavitram. Many instances you will see this Krishna making this statement, pavitram, pavitram, the word nahi jnanena sadrisham pavitram iha vidyate. Krishna is saying, isn't it? Nahi jnanena sadrisham pavitram iha vidyate. There is no other knowledge as pure as the knowledge of the soul. He talks about that in the Bhagavad Gita. Here also Krishna is saying pavitram idam uttamam, because this knowledge, it purifies a person. Purify means what? What does that purification means? Purification means it gets rid of the impurities in us. What is the impurity in us? The body. Body is the first impurity. The mind is another impurity. Intelligence is another impurity. Above all, the greatest of all the impurities is our false ego. So all these things goes, they are all considered to be impurities in the soul. Body is an impurity, mind is an impurity, intelligence is an impurity. Above all, identification with the body, which is the false ego, that is the greatest impurity. Krishna is saying, when all these things are removed from the soul, then you are in your natural position, pure form, pure existence. That is why Krishna is saying here, pavitram idam uttamam. Then, pratyaksham avagamam dharmyam susugham kartum avyayam, Krishna says, isn't it? Pratyaksha means it is directly perceived. In what sense? It is not to be touched by mind and intelligence. Mind and intelligence has no entry into the field of the soul. Avagamam dharmyam susugham kartum avyayam. The idea is that Krishna says, after it is executed, one feels the purity of the knowledge or is so pure, it illuminates a person, and in that process, na asya bhaladaha karmavadvayaha asti idi avyayam atra shraddhayam atmajnanam. This knowledge of the soul is different than the way karmam works. We discussed all this last Sunday, isn't it? Karmam's greatest problem is what? Karma means karmam and karma bhalam, the result. Action and its results, isn't it? Karmam and karma bhalam, two things. And when the karmam is finished, the karma bhalam results also gets exhausted in due course. The results also get discussed. But this knowledge, Krishna is saying, is not like that. It's nothing to do with the karmam. This knowledge, Krishna says, it never gets destroyed. Once when one has realized the truth, it never, he doesn't lose it anymore. That is why, because it is inside the person. Everybody has it already. Everything else that comes from outside, it will go. It will not stay. Because it is there inside with the soul, this knowledge of the soul is there already. Krishna says you can't lose it even if you want to lose it. You can't lose it. That is the beauty of the... That is why Krishna is saying susukham. Susukham kartum avyayam. The word avyayam means that. Avyayam means that you cannot lose it. It cannot be destroyed. You won't lose this knowledge of the soul. So that is how far we have discussed last Sunday. That na asya bhalada karmad karmavad vayaha asti. Idi avyayam. Ada shraddhayam atmajnanam. Atmajnanam means the knowledge of the soul is shraddhayam. It's so important, says. Ada shraddhayam. All our shraddha should go into that side, to the knowledge of the soul. That is what Krishna is talking about here. So, after that, Krishna is saying in the next few verses something very important which we haven't taken very seriously in the spiritual life. Krishna says there that the important issue. First thing is that this knowledge, what Krishna is talking about here in these verses, he says here that dharmad anupedam. In other words, it will never be against dharma. Dharma virudham. In other words, I remember we talked about it last Sunday also, that the nature of karmam in this world is that karmam binds a person and karmam creates conflicts also in a person. Whether it is the right thing to do or is not the right thing to do. There's always two opinions. Dvandvam is there, is it not? Krishna's point is, this: when self-realization happens in someone, when he realizes the truth, because he is fixed in the truth, he is the truth himself, all his activities will be the dharmam. What he does is the dharmam. What he does is the dharmam. Mainly because he is situated in the platform of the soul. That is the reason. Because he has become brahmam. Aham Brahmasmi state has come to him. Once a person reaches that state, whatever he does then will be dharmam. It is not what is written in the shastram that is dharmam. His activities are based on the dharmam. That is the guideline. So, after this realization, Krishna is saying, even if you want to act in a adharmic way, irreligiously, it is not possible. It is not possible because he has come back to his original state. Only in the disturbed state, like now we are, in the identification with the body, identification with the mind, intelligence, ego, only in this state you can act irreligiously. You can act in the wrong way. But once you have come to the platform of the soul and we have realized the truth, there is no question of acting against the dharmam. Because dharmam is what Bhagavatam says is, dharmostu sakshat bhagaval pranitam na devido krishayo nabhi deva. In the Bhagavatam you will see that the dharmam is that what has been realized by the great souls. That is what is dharmam means. So, and in that state, whatever they do in this world and their life is dharmam. Dharmam is not what is written in the book. Generally, people have that understanding, isn't it? Whatever that is written in the book and given, that is the dharmam. But that is not dharmam. Dharmam is all this, you can see this also, so many scriptures in this world and so much instructions in the scriptures, is it not? So many instructions and so many scriptures in Bible, Quran, in every other scripture also, there are so many instructions. But all those instructions are failing at the end. People are not able to follow them because nobody can follow them rigidly. It is not possible. Till you realize the truth, it is not possible to follow the... It is not possible that these things will happen. You may write everything in the Shastram, so many instructions. But till you realize the truth, you will see that no matter how hard you try to follow those instructions, you won't be able to come up to that standard. What is Islam? Because there is always conflict inside about what is dharmam and what is adharmam. That's why till you touch that center, the center means where this ahamasmi, or the awareness is originating from, that point where it's coming from, till you come to back to that point where the soul, ahanda, ahangaram, jiva, ahanda originates, up to that point, it will not happen. Dharmam will not happen. And once you have touched that point, then everything will be, whatever you do, will be dharmic or will be based on the religious principles. So as soon as you touch the center, as soon as you touch that center, immediately you will see all your activities also becomes perfect. All your activities also become perfect. So, and there will be dharmam in all your activities, your thoughts, and your dealings in vyavaharam also. Even your transactions in this world, everything will become perfect. That is why Krishna is saying like that. He says, therefore, pratyaksha avagamam dharmyam. Krishna is saying, you remember that? Pratyaksham avagamam dharmyam. Then you may think, will that be difficult for that person once who has touched the center, once who has realized the truth? Pratyaksham avagamam dharmyam. All his activities will be based on dharmam. Will that be difficult for him to do it then? No. Susugham kartum avyayam. Krishna is saying like that. That it is in that state that whatever activities he does, which will be strictly according to the dharmam, but at the same time, it is executed in great happiness without any disturbances inside, no conflicts inside. It will, in a natural way, it will happen through that person. All the dharmam will happen through that person in a natural way, Krishna is saying. That's why Krishna is using that word susugham. Susugham means you are able to do something without any effort. Any karmam, if you have to perform with a lot of effort and with a lot of difficulties in the mind, then that karmam is not susugham. But that karma, which you can execute without any problem, which happens in a natural way in a person, Krishna says that is susukham. That is what is called susukham. Susukham means it happens through you automatically in a natural way. If you look into great life of all the great Mahatmas, you will see this. They had no anxiety about anything. First of all, freedom from all anxieties. And whatever actions they have performed, it just happened through them in a natural way. Why? Because they're always in touch with the center. They're always in the realized state. Therefore, there was no problems in their dealings in this world with Vyavaharam. For us, what's the problem? We have to bring our mind and intelligence into it, and then the conflict starts from there. Isn't it? But in the realized state, when mind and intelligence has gone away, and there is absolutely not a trace of false ego inside, whatever he does, Krishna is saying, susukham. It will be executed very joyfully and will be done without any serious effort. It happens like that. So, because susukham kartum avyayam, Krishna is saying, isn't it? Susukham kartum avyayam. Because everything else, Krishna is saying here, if whenever whatever Krishna says, if we don't listen to it, then what can be done? There's nothing you can do about it, isn't it? Krishna is saying you can go very easily with this knowledge if you accept it. That acceptance is the most difficult thing for most of the people. Krishna is saying that, but we won't accept it. Resistance from inside, as Krishna mentioned in the beginning, isn't it? That prejudices. Anasuyave, that word in this first verse is very important, because spiritual knowledge, acceptance is the most difficult thing because of our prejudiced mind or preconceived ideas about spiritual life within us. So therefore he says, therefore, because of that, false ego will not allow us to accept that. The false ego inside will not allow us to accept that. So therefore, first thing is that this wiping out this ego from inside. So if that happens, you will see very easily the spiritual knowledge becomes not difficult anymore. The ego inside is creating the whole problem for all of us. So therefore Krishna says, susukham kartum avyayam. It's done very easily, but that ego, ahankaram inside, will not allow us to accept that. If you look into all the great Mahatmas, you will see this great quality in them. Why? They are completely free from this false ego. False ego has left them totally. Because there is no false ego inside, susukham kartum avyayam, their life is very susukham. Susukham, they can do things without any serious effort. It just happens in a very natural way through them. Susukham kartum avyayam. Avyayam means that they are fixed in that state. Therefore, never they fall from that. Artificially, if you do anything in spiritual life, one day it will collapse. It won't stay. Till we come to that state. And artificially means with a lot of false ego inside. If you think that physically I'll use my body and the mind and intelligence and try to do things in spiritual life, that will not last very long. First thing is, Krishna is saying that kartum avyayam. That word avyayam means that it has to become your natural way. It has to become natural in a person. And that natural way it happens when ahankaram goes away from inside. False ego goes away, then it once becomes one's own, what do they call, second nature, isn't it? And similarly, it becomes his nature. That has to happen in that way. It has to become like that. Not through a lot of effort or fixed up and try. People sometimes do that in spiritual life. They think that they have to work very hard, and with their ego, they work very hard in spiritual life and also improve their bring in their mind and intelligence into it, and you will see one day everything dwindling, collapsing everything. I can't go any more further with that. So that is the main thing in this verse Krishna is trying to point out. There are a lot of things to understand here, because the rishis, the sages, Vedavyasa Maharshi particularly, when he brought Bhagavad Gita into Mahabharatam, with the background of the war going on there in Kurukshetram, that is right in the middle, he brought this Bhagavad Gita into it, is it not? So, you can see here, everything in this world will one day get either destroyed or finished. For example, anything you earned wealth through actions, wealth will go one day. Health will go one day. Mind also will go one day. Intelligence also will go one day. All these things are meant for getting destroyed one day. Wealth, the health, the mind, the body. They are all meant to get destroyed one day. It cannot stay here permanently. Isn't it? But Krishna is saying here, with this spiritual knowledge, what you will acquire, what you will eventually get it from there, that will not get destroyed. That is one important thing to realize. Compared to all other things, all other knowledge in this world, if you acquire any knowledge in this world, doesn't matter. Whatever you acquire here, science subjects or literature or information technology or whatever it is, whatever you may have acquired here, they will not stay. They will go. They cannot stay with you. They have to go. You have put a lot of effort to acquire a lot of knowledge here, but none of them will stay with you. But this one thing, Krishna is saying, this Rajavidya, its special nature, is that once you have got it, it will not leave you. It will stay with you forever. Avyayam, that's what that word avyayam means. No other knowledge except Brahmavidya will stay with you forever. This is one point you have to be very, very clear. What is the difference between Brahmavidya and all other Vidya? Brahma Vidya, Sarva Vidya, Brahma Vidya, Pratishtidam. It says all other Vidya cannot stay with you, no matter what you learn in this world. One day it will go, is it not? One day it has to go. For example, you can see, and that's one thing. Second thing, after Brahma Vidya, you don't feel any need to get any more knowledge from anywhere. Another Vidya, further acquiring another Vidya, that desire will go from inside. Whereas normally what do you see? You learn one subject, you become expert in that, and then you feel you want to switch on to something else, isn't it? You're never satisfied with one particular knowledge only. You can see people studying and studying and studying throughout life and acquiring and acquiring. But you can see all that what you have studied in the school, how much do we remember now? That's all gone now. And a new set of knowledge has come in. And you're always racing with the time to catch up with what's going on in this world. Isn't it? So, Krishna is saying here that as you get older, Krishna mentions here that I'm not able to do what you could do in your younger days, isn't it? You can see most of the old people are having difficulty now. They cannot catch up with the technology and the knowledge what science is releasing nowadays. One day, finally, you lose interest. You say, hell with it, leave it now. Let it go. You have to survive here somehow. So, this is the problem with that. You are not able to do that. But here, Brahmavidya Krishna says, is not like that. It's not like that. No matter what age you are in this world, which age group you are, if you got it, it will stay with you. It will not leave you, even if you become old. Because whatever you do with your body, when the body gets old, it will go. It will go. It cannot stay. As soon as whatever you have done with your mind, as soon as you get very old, that sharpness of the mind will go. This is also all experience from the rishis. Know this very well. Whatever you have got through your body, when the body gets old, it goes. The mind, as soon as you get old, the sharpness of the mind also goes. Mind is not sharp anymore. We know this in instances in many, many very intelligent and thoughtful people this has happened. And the brain, where we call it as the intelligence, that also, when you get your dementia, that's gone there. Is it not? These are direct experience in this world. Can anybody deny these things? Body will go as soon as it gets older, it has lost its capacity. Mind will lose its sharpness as you get older. It doesn't have that sharp mind anymore. The brain or the intelligence also, you can see at the old age, something like this memory power naturally diminishes. Nobody remains in the same memory, everything till the time of death. Even before death, many years before death, now what happens is things like dementia or the Alzheimer, these illnesses, they'll take away your memory also. And you look at the same person. At one time, that person had a good memory, good knowledge of things, and he's now standing there like a tree, doesn't know anything. Everything has gone. This is the nature of the knowledge in this world. That's what Krishna is saying to us. The nature of the knowledge in this world, any knowledge, doesn't matter, is all like this. They will all go one day. They'll come and go, come and go. Coming and going is the nature of all the knowledge. On the other hand, Brahma Vidya, Sarva Vidya Al Patishtam, that Brahma Vidya is inside us. Everybody has it. Because it has not come from outside, it won't go. It will stay. And it will always stay. Even if you want to throw it away, you can't throw it away. So much an integral part of the soul is that Brahma Vidya. That is why Krishna is insisting that this Raja Vidya, when you understand in the proper way, you will automatically feel that the difference between the Raja Vidya and all other Vidya in this world. So all other Vidya will lose, go away, but when this Vidya wakes up, which one? Brahma Vidya, when that wakes up, and it will always be shining inside, jwalanam, it says. Krishna mentions that Jyotisham Abhisat Jyoti. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying this about this Brahma Vidya. Jyotisham Abhisat Jyoti. It's like the sun, it will start illuminating from inside the knowledge of the soul. Never it gets destroyed. Because it is not, the reason for that is, it is not based on your effort, or it's not based on your mind or intelligence, that this Brahma Vidya is revealed to a person. Not based on the mind or the intelligence. That is the difference. Anything that you have acquired through mind and intelligence or through the body, it doesn't have any permanent existence. It will come, it will go. That's very nature. So, such a Vidya, that Raja Vidya, is what Krishna is going to reveal in this chapter. So, anavaranam, that's the word they use in the Bhashyam. Anavaranam means, we are covered with something now. What is the coverage? Mind, false ego, intelligence. These are all covering on that Vidya, Brahma Vidya inside. Brahma Vidya is inside in everybody. But that Vidya is covered by mind, intelligence, ego, and of course the gross level, the gross body. It's covering that. What Krishna is saying here is anavaranam. Avaranam means coverage. Anavaranam means removing that cover. That is this knowledge. How to remove that coverage? Well, in yoga language, they call it a sheath. Like we have kosham. They call the kosham. Annamaya kosham, pranamaya kosham, manomaya kosham, vijnanamaya kosham, anandamaya kosham. These are all the sheath which are covering this. Once all that is removed, annamayam is the body, manomayam is the mind, pranamayam is the, this is in the Ashtanga Yoga process. There's no difference. It's one and the same thing spoken in two different processes, in two different ways. That's all. Pranamayam is the life air that is flowing through the body, and the vijnanamayam is the one that is based on the mind, sorry, brain. Anandamayam is the final one, which will come to that later. What this Anandamaya Kosham, how that has to go. It's not explained in the Bhagavad Gita so much, but it is in the Panchadashi. Most of the people have this question. ആനന്ദം, ആനന്ദമായ അഭ്യാസാദ് ഈസ് ദി ഡെഫിനിഷൻ ഓഫ് ദ സോൾ. ആനന്ദം, ആനന്ദം ഈസ് ഡെഫിനിഷൻ. സോ വെൻ ഇറ്റ് കംസ് ടു സെൽഫ് റിയലൈസേഷൻ അറ്റ് സം പോയിന്റ് that anandamaya kosham also goes away. Vidyaranya Swamiji explains that in the Panchadashi in detail, how that anandamaya kosham goes away from the soul. So annamayam, pranamayam, manomayam, vijnanamayam, anandamayam, the five sheath which is covering that soul, that anavaranam, that removing that coverage, is this rajavidya which is Krishna is going to talk to us now from now on. So if that happens inside us, this anavaranam, anavaranam means this removing that coverage inside us, then immediately that inside us, that knowledge will manifest like the sun. It will manifest inside. So you will see in the famous prayers of the great devotees to their deities, they are saying this. Even if you look into our I don't know whether if you understand these verses, you'll see here that the in the Shri Guru Charana Padma, that prayers If you look into the third verse, Chakudhanu Diloyai Janme Janme Prabhu Sai Divya Jnanam Hrude Prakashito. That's a word they have used, isn't it? Have you noticed that? Divya Jnanam Hrude Prakashito. What does it mean? It means that knowledge of the soul, Divya Jnanam, let that Prakasham, Prakasham means it, let it manifest, illuminate from the heart. It's not said that you'll study and learn. No. Study and learn, you can't do this. Brahmavidya cannot be learned by mind and intelligence. That's why they have used that specific word. Divya Jnanam Jnana Hrude Prakashito. Divya Jnanam. Because it is divine, this knowledge, Brahmavidya, is divine. Hrude Prakashito. Let that manifest in the heart. It has to manifest only. That's the only way it can work. It has to manifest from within. So, there is the proof. Divya Jnanam Hrude Prakashito, it says. It has to manifest inside. Just by saying it won't manifest. It has to manifest. That is where the knowledge of the spiritual knowledge is like that. The very nature of the spiritual knowledge, it has to manifest from inside. So, Chakudhana Dilojai Janme Janme Prabhu Sai Divya Jnana Hrude Prakashito. Krishna says there, isn't it? So, this you will see. This is the way all great devotees, when they pray to the deities whom they worship, this is how they will address the deity. That, please reveal it to me from inside. Krishna has to reveal that from within. If Krishna doesn't reveal, you will not get it. So clear is that. You can work very hard in life with using all your mind and brain and everything. You won't get it. Divya Jnanam Hrude Prakashito. It has to be revealed from inside. That's why it is. Tyagaraja sings the same thing. When he went to Tirupati temple, Tyagaraja Swami, when he went to the Tirupati temple, Tirupati, they have a big curtain in front of the deity. So he sings in one of the songs addressing the deity, please remove that curtain so that I can see you, he says. And there it explains there what that curtain means. Curtain is this, that you have put this curtain in me. I can't see you there. Who is inside me? I can't see you there. He's inside there. So, when he sang, it seems that the curtain opened up in front of the deity without anyone moving the curtain got opened. Tirupati, the deity, responded to that because of the person's purity inside. So many kirtanam, if you look, you will see this prayer. This word in that prayer is important. Divya jnanam hriday prakashito. It has to come from within. You cannot do anything from outside. So, and that curtain, what is in front or covering that is our lust, anger, greed. This is all, the curtain is made of all these things. And when that is removed, that coverage will go, and through knowledge only that will happen. Through knowledge, that coverage will go. And whilst living within this body itself, you can see that perfection inside. Because when the coverage goes away, you will see that perfection inside. The perfection inside. That process is what Krishna is going to talk about it in this verse. And therefore, Krishna calls it as Rajaguhya Yogam. He calls it as Rajaguhya Yogam. That is how he addresses this chapter. Idam tu me guhyatamam idam tu me guhyatamam pravakshyam manasu yave jnanam vijnana sahitam yajnatva mokshase ashubhal rajavidya rajaguhyam pavitram idam uttamam pratyakshavagamam dharmyam susukham kartum avyayam. So those two verses, Krishna explained the nature of Brahma Vidya. That's what it is. First two verses talking about the nature of Brahma Vidya. Without, most of the people think that Bhagavad Gita is another book like any other textbook, is it not? That's how we approach Bhagavad Gita. Oh, let me see what Krishna's got to say. This is how we look at the. Many people read that. That's why when you don't know what makes a person preparing for spiritual life. That's what Krishna is saying here. In these two verses, that's what Krishna has done. Idam tume guhyatamam pravakshyami anasuyave. Jnanam vijnana sahidam yajnatva mokshase ashubhal. First thing. Then, rajavidya rajaguhyam pavitram idam uttamam pratyakshavakamam dharmam susukham kartum avyayam. Those two verses is a very detailed explanation of the qualification of a person who is coming to spiritual life. If he has all these two verses are spoken about, Krishna says this knowledge will easily get in. But our false ego won't allow that. That is where the problem is. Knowledge is not very complex. False ego is complex. The curtain is very big, thick and very strong. And that curtain, taking out that curtain is the most difficult thing. That's the most difficult thing. If you look into famous devotees surrendered completely, Sharanagati, who have achieved that state, their words, they have only one thing to say. I'm just an instrument. I am a machine. You are the operator. That, to that degree, they have surrendered to them. To that degree, they have surrendered to them. Whatever you like, you do. I have nothing to say. What you do, that is perfect with me. I'm okay with that. This attitude has to come. Till that time, this Rajavidya will not work. We will study with the mind and brain, trying to understand what it is. But till one reaches this state of surrender, Sharanagati, this will not work. That is what Krishna is warning in the beginning itself. So, we have seen these two verses. And Krishna has given a very big name for this chapter, Rajavidya, Rajaguhya Yogam, isn't it? So why? Because this Vidya, Brahma Vidya, is above everything else, above all other Vidya. And because it shines all the other Vidyas, therefore it is Rajavidya. It is because of this Vidya, Rajavidya, that all other Vidya is there in this world. If this Vidya is not there, no other Vidya can stay in this world. They will not be there. What is the point? I mean, you cannot know anything till you have that awareness inside, isn't it? Because it is the Vidya in relationship with the awareness. Bodham, Avabodha means sight. Krishna says it is the Rajaguhyam, and therefore he calls it a royal secret, isn't it? Royal secret. Just like we say, very secret, isn't it? It's very secret it is. So, so this Vidya is also Rajaguhyam. And what does this Vidya do? What it does to us is, it makes you Pavitram. That's the first thing. Pavitram. Pavitram. Pavitram means it purifies us. What way it purifies us? Our impurities taken out from us. What are the impurities? This body, gross body, the mind, the intelligence, and above all the ego. These are the impurities in us. In our pure identity as the soul, these are all impurities that has come to us. Krishna says this knowledge will take away those impurities. Impurities. And those impurities are there, and what it means is that body doesn't get destroyed straight away with this. Mind doesn't get destroyed straight away. Intelligence doesn't get destroyed straight away. That will go one day. But you won't get another body, another mind, another intelligence, and another ego back again. That is what happens at that stage. So, Pavitram idam uttamam. So, if you ask a question that will it be very difficult to experience this Brahmavidya, the answer Krishna says pratyakshavagamam. Directly you can experience this. Directly experience this. Or reality. If you ask that, is it very difficult? No, Krishna says susukham kartum avyayam. Krishna is explaining about the nature of this Brahmavidya. Susukham kartum avyayam. Because there is a process to go through, and Krishna is saying, if you go through that process, if you know it, if you realize it, then it is very easy. That is the important point. And once you have got it, you won't lose it again, once again. So therefore, it's called avyayam, avyayam. All other things, if you achieve it, it will go. And anything, what you have got through your karma, through your effort, that will not stay. Anything. What you have got through your effort, it cannot stay. It has to. You have to lose it one day or the other. Including this body. What to talk about all other things in this world. They are meant to go. If you don't go, leave them, they will leave you one day and go. Particularly the body also, finally. And the mind and the intelligence and everything, they will go. So, anything you get it through your effort, you will lose it. That's the principle. Anything to get through your effort, you lose it. For example, whatever you struggle hard and went to university and studied a lot, that you will forget one day. It will not stay. And anything that you have achieved through mind, intelligence, whatever you have created, that will also be destroyed. Isn't it? If you ask a question, if it is like that, whether this Vidya, Brahma Vidya also, once you have got it, will you lose it? Krishna is saying no. That will not happen. Never. Krishna says he'll never. If you have got it, you will never lose it. Why did he make this commitment like that in the Bhagavad Gita? That this commitment? Because all other Vidya, even if they all go, and what you have got through your intelligence, they will go. You can see like experience also. So much we studied, went to the school and studied, isn't it? So much we studied at the school. And if you ask the question, do you remember all that? Hardly anything you remember now, isn't it? Okay, they may say that, oh, if you have not gone to school, you couldn't have studied further. But even if you ask the college also, does it remember anything now? Not much, isn't it? Everything at the end you can see, you will only keep that what is necessary to do the vyavaharam in this world. That's how much you will keep it with you. Everything else you will leave it at some point or the other. The purpose is served, then you leave it. You won't keep it with you anymore. Is it not? So many things in the school they taught us, isn't it? And when you look back now, you think, what have I been doing all this, wasting time doing all this, studying all these things. And that is gone because the purpose is served. You have left it immediately. So, it goes away from your memory or the brain. But Krishna is saying here, this is one knowledge. It will not go and it will remain forever. It will remain forever. Therefore, that is why Krishna has used that word avyayam. So, that word, Krishna has used that as a sort of guarantee, like a guarantee that if you have a fear, then like all other knowledge, you're going to lose it later. Krishna is saying, no, you won't lose it. It will remain with you forever. So this knowledge is the final knowledge that brings us the ultimate benefit for all of us. Ultimate benefit for all of us. All of us, this Vidya, what Krishna is going to talk about. So earlier, if you look into the 7th chapter, Krishna talked about two Vidya there, isn't it? Paravidya and Abharavidya. If you remember that, Krishna says there Paravidya and Abharavidya. So, two kinds of Vidya Krishna has spoken. Everything, this is a little bit subtle side, but this side, what Krishna is going to talk about it, is everything you come to know through your mind intelligence, what you are capturing through mind and intelligence, is always Abharavidya. Whatever you are capturing through your mind and intelligence, it's always Abharavidya. Abharavidya. So, two things. You will see this in the Upanishads particularly. Jnanam and Jnapti. Jnapti is a word used by realized souls. They don't use the word Jnanam. Always they'll use the word Jnapti. If you look into the prayers in Bhagavadam, in many places you will see the word Jnapti used. Jnapti means, Jnapti is the one in Muchukunda's prayers, you will see the word Jnapti Matram. Jnapti is the word he uses. So, two topics here. What you get to know through mind and intelligence is Jnanam. Through mind and intelligence is Jnanam. And what the soul takes it from inside, from the heart, that is Jnapti. See that difference? Whatever you have accepted through mind and intelligence, that is Jnanam. And whatever that has gone inside and experienced it inside, that is Jnapti. They are two different things, completely two different things. Normally, we don't take that thing very seriously. You get used to this studying through books year after year, year after year, and reading books and educated in that way, we only know Jnanam. We say people are very knowledgeable, we say. Isn't it? He's very knowledgeable. He has studied a lot. He has got PhD and he has got so many other degrees, all that with him. So he's very knowledgeable, we say. But that is Jnanam. Through mind and intelligence, he has got it. Jnapti is that thing, what you have got inside and realized it. What you have accepted inside and realized it. Krishna is saying that. So, Jnanam and Jnapti. So, Jnanam is you what you get it. Jnapti is what you have accepted it without your effort. You are not putting any effort in that. It has come from it. That Jnapti is that awakening inside. Normal way it happens inside a person. Jnapti. Sometimes you will see people without any education, without no Jnanam, but they have got so much Jnapti inside. Remember that we were talking about few people like that. The Nisargadatta Maharaj is a typical example of that. He didn't have Jnanam, but he has Jnapti inside. Completely realizations inside a person. Didn't go to school. He didn't study anything. Did very menial jobs to live in this world. But deep realization inside. That is Jnapti. Raikwa, the story I mentioned in the Yoga Vasishtam. He was doing this job of a bullock cart. That was his job. He was driving a bullock cart. That was his livelihood. And the king, who was highly educated, Janashruti, in the kingdom, he goes to Raikwa to reach that state of realization. Raikwa has no education. He didn't go to school right from the childhood. He started driving this bullock cart and that was his livelihood. But inside, Jnapti. That is the beauty of the Brahmavidya. Brahmavidya is like that. So, whatever you know through mind or the intelligence, or you put your effort and study and learn and all that, that is Abhravidya. That is Abhravidya. Abhravidya, generally you can say, is the knowledge of the world. Therefore, Acharya Swamiji mentions there, Abhravidya, avidya. Abhravidya is avidya it is. It is another kind of avidya it is. Only Acharyas will say to this to us, because they have seen the other side. We have only seen this Abhravidya. Therefore, we don't know what is Paravidya. But those who know Paravidya, they will tell you that Abhravidya is avidya. The more you increase your Abhravidya, you will go far away from the Paravidya. That is the difficulty. That's why Krishna mentions in that 7th chapter, Aparayam idastvanyam prakritim vidhime param jivabhudam mahabaho edam dharide jagat. Only through self-realization we will come to this understanding of the uselessness of Abhravidya. All realized souls are with Paravidya. They don't have Abhravidya. They have no interest in Abhravidya, because as far as they are concerned, Abhravidya, avidya. It is another kind of ignorance that is inside us. So, Paravidya means knowledge of the absolute. Knowledge of the absolute. That's why that chapter, you can see Prabhupada's title is Knowledge of the Absolute. Isn't it? That's Paravidya. So, if you talk about that in the language of bhakti, if you talk about in the language of devotion, you can say that thing is called experiencing Krishna. Experiencing Krishna. That's what it is. Experiencing Krishna. Not seeing Krishna. Experiencing Krishna inside us. So, in the Vedantam or in the Jnana Margam, if you call it, knowledge of the soul. Knowledge of the soul, in other words. The knowledge of the soul, you will never lose it. And all times to come in the future, under no circumstances or due to any other reason, you can not lose this realization. This Paravidya. You cannot lose. Once you have got it, it will remain. It cannot go. Vasishtha Maharshi says this in the Yoga Vasishtham like this. Sarvapyena kala jandau. He says, Sarvapyena kala jandau. All other art, music, sports, or any other knowledge, technology, or whatever it is, kala jandau, anabhyasena nashyati. If you do not practice it, you will lose it. Is it not? Music or any other field of knowledge, if you are not continuously keep you updated with this, with that knowledge, you will lose it one day. One day, you will know that I can't keep up with it anymore, and you pull back. You can see this all the time. People who studied physics and chemistry 50 years ago in the school, they were studying certain side of physics and chemistry. If you ask a child who is doing his A-levels now, or a student who is doing A-levels or something, you look at the physics and chemistry they are studying is so different than the physics and chemistry that was studied 50 years ago. We know that very well, our own experience like that, isn't it? At that time, what we thought, mathematics, same thing. Mathematics also same thing. In the schools at that time, mathematics was not so much advanced. Mostly it was centered on arithmetic and a little bit of trigonometry or something like that. But now, you see, when you go to the schools, they teach them calculus, differential equations, all the advanced mathematics also is taught in the schools, which were taught in the university at one time. So, you can see the problem that this way of changing nature, you say, until you keep on updating yourself with this particular field, whichever physics or chemistry or whatever. Because every year, some scientist somewhere is creating some new knowledge, is it not? And he is releasing it and gets a Nobel Prize or whatever big prize he gets it. As soon as he gets that, it comes into university and the student has to learn what he has found out, something new. He has to keep on keeping up with that. This becomes his whole life. And one day, finally, he says, I can't keep up with it anymore, and he pulls out. That's all you can do. You can't do anything more than that. That's all useless as far as the rishis are concerned. Rishis are saying to us, well, you're wasting your time doing this. Whole life is wasted. Because you don't know anything better than this. You don't know anything after death what happens. You have no knowledge about yourself. And then you are like But they give the example like the donkeys. They'll eat any garbage anywhere, isn't it? They'll go and eat all kinds of paper, grass, and every sort of plastic bottles, anything it'll go inside. They'll eat all that. Similarly, these people who are acquiring knowledge in this way, Vedantam, they say they are like these asses, who's on eating this grass endlessly. They never know when to stop it, and doesn't know what to take. Intake goes on and on, and one day stops everything. So, Vasishtha says here, Sarvapyena kalajanto anabhyasena nashyati. If you don't keep on updating yourself, you will drop back. You will fall back from that. Iyam yana kalalpana sagrajada abhivardhade. But the spiritual knowledge, what is the difference? Once it goes in, once a realization happens, there is no question of coming back. It's only going up further from that. Have you understand that point? Material knowledge, you keep on updating yourself, isn't it? Spiritual knowledge, as much as it is realized inside, day after day, without any effort, it grows further. Because that is the nature of the soul. It's full of knowledge, and as soon as realization comes, realization starts opening up more and more of the spiritual nature of the living entity. And he starts without any effort, never goes down. On the other hand, it goes up in every way. That's why he says, uses the word abhivardhade. Vasishtha Maharshi is saying this in Yoga Vasishtham. Then iyam jnana kalatyanta sagrajata abhivardhade, he says. But all other kala, kala means arts. When they say arts, it includes all kinds of knowledge. So with the body, with the mind, and with the intelligence, whatever you have practiced and acquired that, if you stop practicing it, it will go. Is it not? It will stop practicing, it will go. Practicing means if you do not keep updating it. In every field, medicine, information technology, or mechanical engineers, if you know mechanical engineers about, say, 40 years ago who are graduating, at that time, the car industry was in a different state than today, isn't it? They used to say that when you look at the car, all the mechanisms of the car were known to them. Fairly easy. They studied that. A graduate, mechanical engineer 40 years ago, he sees the modern car and he looks at it, he gets confused completely because of all the electronics that has come in and the way the things have changed. So every branch in this world, every branch of knowledge, it has to, till you keep updating yourself with that, you won't be able you won't be able to stay with it. You have to withdraw one day. You say, I can't do it anymore. Although government says that the retirement age is 65 and all that, practically by 50, you become useless in the office. The young people come from the university and they've got the latest one with them. And you are sitting there trying to learn it and your learning power is all gone by now. And this young man is looking at you and smiling at the old man is still here. Why doesn't he go? That look you can see from their face. So if you are intelligent, you'll pack up and leave there itself. Not waste time anymore. This is, world is directly telling us this. This is the nature of Aparavidya. Aparavidya is like that. And this very young man today who is smiling, after 30, 40 years ago, another young man will come and smile at him in the same way. And this man will have to leave at that time because everything has changed again. Aparavidya, avidya. That's what it is. So here, Krishna says here, this kala, Atmavidya, is Bodha kala. It is in the bodham, in awareness it happens. Not in the brain, not in the mind. It happens in your awareness. That is the difference. That's why Atmavidya is Bodha kala. Bodha means in your awareness it is happening. You know what I'm saying, don't you? Bodhakala it is, bodham. So, whether you practice it or not, it is there in the bodham. It is there in your awareness. And it is not there in you practicing, it won't help. That in bodham, bodham means, what do you say, bodham? Bodham is awareness, isn't it? In your awareness, there is only this knowledge will stay. All other knowledge cannot stay there. Awareness. That awareness is that bodham. Awareness means I am. Aham asmi. My existence. Of Satta Chitta Anandam, isn't it? That Chit Shakti inside. Satta Chitta Anandam. That Chit Shakti inside is that awareness. I exist. I exist. That awareness, I am existing. And it is only due to that awareness, which I am conscious of my existence all the time, and through the same Chit Shakti, I am aware of the existence of the world, existence of others as well. That is not due to any textbook study, is it not? It is in my awareness inside. So that is what Vasishtha says here, that once you get that awareness woken up inside, once it is shined inside, abhivardhade, it will keep on growing. It will keep on growing itself. Why Krishna says it's very simple and why it's not possible to have it? One hand Krishna is saying it's not very difficult. And then why it's not possible to have it then? The answer is the next verse. This Rajavidya Rajaguhyam is very simple, Krishna is saying. Then why can't we have it if it is so simple? And that problem, why we can't have it, that is that next verse. Let's read that. Ashraddhadhana purushaha. Dharmasyasya parandapa. Aprapyamam nivartande. Mrityu samsara vartmani. Ashraddhadhana purushaha. Dharmasyasya parandapa. Aprapyamam nivartande. Mrityu samsara vartmani. That is the answer. Ashraddhadhanaha purushaha. Dharmasyasya parandava aprapyamam nivartande mrityu samsara vatmani. That is how Krishna answers that. Let's look at that. Ashraddhadhana shraddha virahidaha. Atmajnanasya dharmasya asya swarupe tadbhalecha nastigaha papakarinaha asuranam upanishadam deham matralmadarshanam eva pratipannaha asutrupa pabaha purushaha ashraddhadhanaha parandhava aprapyamam parameshwaram malprapto na eva ashanka idi malprapti marga sadhana bhedam bhakti matram abhi aprapya ityartaha nivartande nishchayena vartande. This is the bhashyam on that verse. So the thing is, Krishna is saying, ashraddhadhanaha, shraddha virahidaha. Someone who has no shraddha. No shraddha. Shraddha. Shraddha is different than belief. Shraddha is different than belief. Belief is something you may or may not believe. Believe something. But shraddha, Krishna is saying, ashraddhadhana, shraddha virahidaha. That means, suppose somebody, anyone for that matter, he is not able to accept the presence of the soul inside. Krishna says, he cannot accept it due to his unfortunate body, mind or intelligence or ego inside. There are so many people like that in this world, isn't it? They find it difficult to accept the presence of the soul. So those who have that difficulty in acceptance of the soul, that something is blocking them from accepting the presence of the soul in a person. So, and they also don't have any serious understanding that there is a better life than this life in this world. Those people who are satisfied with this existence, bodily existence in other words, those who believe that it's okay, it's not too bad, I'm all right in this world. I'm earning enough money to maintain this body. This kind of mentality. I'm getting enough to get through in this world. And I have enough money to live in this world. And body health is wise, okay. Family is okay. This is the miserliness nature of a person who thinks like that. Very miser. Does not know what is. Krishna is saying here, one who is not fire, on fire to know the soul. One who is not on fire. Actually, what Shraddha does is, he puts a person on fire. He's on fire, we say sometimes, isn't it?
about some people. But only thing is, the problem is that he's on fire for wrong reasons, not for the right thing. Sometimes we say like that, isn't it, about people? Oh, he's on fire, we say. He's so fired up, like the Nishkandas say. So fired up, we say. But all this fire, Krishna is saying, if it's not for the right thing to know the soul, that if it's not fired for that, then it's no use. So that is what he's saying here. Two things. One, knowledge of the soul. You have to be on fire for that. And secondly, you have to have that firm conviction inside that this bodily existence is all nonsense. It's all useless. This is not me. I don't want to be in this identification with the body, living like this with the bodily identity. These two things. Alpajnanam and moksha. Liberation. Freedom from this material existence. One who has got these two things, one who does not have these in them, they are sinful. One who don't have these two things. One, knowledge, who has got an intense desire for self-realization, knowledge of the soul. And secondly, one who does not have that conviction inside that this existence in my bodily existence is not my proper existence. I am not meant to, I don't have to settle with this body. I am not meant to be in this state forever. I want to escape from this. In other words, that burning desire for self-realization inside. If these two things are not there, Krishna is saying they are sinful. They are sinful people. Because they have, the demons also read Upanishad, you know. Demons also read Upanishad. Their Upanishad is, body is the Upanishad. Their Upanishad is, the body is the Upanishad. So, their nature, so long as they are thinking body as important, or take body as important, those who take the jnanis and the great devotees, they take the soul as the Upanishad. The soul as the Upanishad. The word Upanishad means, it's not just books. Upanishad is addressed as books in the way the names are given to them, but Upanishad actually means that your tendency inside, what you have, everyone has some tendency inside, isn't it? Those who are so grossly absorbed in the body and who consider bodily happiness and bodily maintenance as the most important factor in life here, they are called the demons, isn't it? They are called the demons. For them, body is their Upanishad. And for the devotees, jnanis, the soul is their Upanishad. They are more concerned about the soul, not about the body. Those who are studying all the time about the body, how to keep the body in a good shape, how to keep the body satisfied, that kind of things. So here, so those who are bodily identifying and keeping body as the object, they will never be satisfied. They will never be. You will always notice that also. That is why we have so much development going on in this world, isn't it? Constantly developing, developing, developing. Where is it going to end, this development business? When will they be satisfied? Never. Isn't it? Constantly we have to develop, isn't it? And we have to tell others, you are not developed like me, so you develop also like me. And then by the time he develops like you, you are changed again, developed something else. So this madness of this development, that's what Krishna is saying. That is not going to help you very much, your development business. This development is all nonsense, what is being forced upon people like this. So, such people, those who have not, Asuranam Upanishadam, it says, Dehamatra Atmadarshanam Eva Pratimannaha, Asutrupa Papaha, Purushaha, Ashradhadhanaha, Parandava, Prabhimam Parameshuram. What else is the problem? Such people, that they have no knowledge that they have to change this state of existence, what they are in at the moment. And they have to realize the truth. Krishna is saying, Parameshwaram, aprapya maam nivartande. That's the word Krishna is using there. Maam nivartande means self-realization, in other words. Not want to come back to the spiritual platform. Always, always hovering around the material platform. On the body, mind, intelligence, senses, ego. In this level, surviving through their whole lifetime. Either through the senses or through the body or through the mind or through the intelligence or through the ego, in this level, floating in that state, never going up from there. That is very risky, Krishna saying. That is what that aprapimam nivartande means. Aprapimam nivartande, they cannot come. Because they are always floating in these different platforms. They are hovering in this mental platform or intellectual platform or bodily platform or the sensual platform or the ego platform. In one platform. Keep on changing from one to another all the time. But never goes up from there. So they have no thoughts about in that direction either. And they don't have any doubts also. That's the most interesting thing. Although they are floating around in these different levels of existence. These are all different levels of existence, isn't it? Mental platform and bodily platform. You can see that in the world. Some people, if you see the effort they put through to keep this body going in this world. and because so much they are convinced that they are the body, isn't it? And to win big races, people are injecting all drugs into the body and all sorts of things people do in this world. Because they could never come out of that bodily platform. This is the sad thing. Even remember recently there was about that someone who won the cycle race in France, Tour de France or something. And so many years he has been cheating apparently with the all. It doesn't matter what he has done. Point is this, that look at the consciousness. So much absorbed in the body. Similarly, you can see these weightlifters, wrestlers and sportsmen and all torturing the body because absorption in the body is so deep, isn't it? Even if they bring you 1,000 gold medals from the Olympics, what value has it got at the end, isn't it? And avidya is like that. In a very subtle form, it controls everybody. And we fall into that avidya very easily, isn't it? So, everything on the bodily level is like that. Then there is the ones who are in the mental platform. Another group of people, completely absorbed in the mental level. And what the mind dictates, they will be based on that. Then there is the intellectual ones who are the scientists and all these ones. They are so absorbed in that, I tell you, they don't know anything else except intelligence. And completely absorbed in that intelligence. Then there is these big politicians and businessmen, rich ones, who are on the ego platform. So you see everything in this world right in front of us. The ones on the ego platform, ahankaram, the ones in the intellectual platform, the ones on the mental platform, the ones on the bodily platform. All of them are there. You can pick and choose whomever which you want to find them out. So Krishna is saying here that because they are all in this, never trying to come out of this, but always satisfied with these four, five abhravidya. They are all abhravidya. Body, mind, intelligence, ego and senses, they are all abhravidya. And those who are floating around in this abhravidya, Krishna is saying it's very difficult. Aprapyamam nivartande. They cannot escape from the state. They cannot. It's very difficult situation to come out of it. Kvaha, mrityu samsara vartmani, mrityu yuktaha, samsaraha, mrityu samsaram, tasya vartma, naraga tiryagadi prapti margaha, tasmin evaha, vartanda ityartaha. In other words, they have only one thing going to happen because they will die and they will come back into the material life again. And due to their lifestyle, Krishna is saying, because they have lived a lifestyle like that, continuously living through these different platforms, they have only one choice left. They have to either go down into the hellish situations or come back in the form of birds or animals, and it gives, they are generating new causes for new material bodies. That's what they do. New material bodies, they are creating all the time, and therefore they keep on rotating within this cycle of karma, within the cycle of this karma, never trying to escape from this once for all. That's, Krishna feels sorry for them. That they don't do this, that they've been given an opportunity, but they don't take advantage of it. Therefore, he says here, Stutya Arjunam, Arjunam Abhimugi Kritya Aha. This verse was spoken in order to make Arjuna create that Shraddha in him. To warning Arjuna that if you don't have Shraddha, this is what will happen. So, Shraddha means that you have lost interest in the body. Lost interest in the mind, interest in the intelligence, interest in the senses, interest in the ego. All these platforms you have closed it down. And you have decided to move on to a higher level, which is called spiritual level. That is called Shraddha. Shraddha. In the Vega Chudamani, Shraddha is defined very clearly what Shraddha means, isn't it? Shastrasya Guru Vakyasya Satya Buddhyavadharana Sa Shraddha Iti Kathyate. Ajari Swami mentions there, Shastrasya, Shastram, absolute faith in Krishna's words. Guru Vakyasya, implicit faith in the words of the spiritual master, who must be a realized soul, not ordinary, realized soul. Shastrasya, Guru Vakyasya. In their words and in the injunction of the Shastram, Satya Buddhyavadharana. That is the only truth in this world. That kind of acceptance inside. Satya Buddha. Sa Shraddha Iti Kathyade. That is what is called Shraddha. So, here you can see that what do we have to do to get that? Do we require a lot of this? This verse is about that. Ashraddha Dhana Purusha Dharmasyasya Parantava Aprapimam Nivartande Mrityu Samsara Vartmani. Krishna says that do you require, in order that this Brahma Vidya to develop in a person, do you require intelligence or do you require practice? No. Krishna says only one thing is required, Shraddha. The Shraddha. If you do not have Shraddha, if the person has no Shraddha, then Dharmam, Jnanam, you may have Dharmam, you may have knowledge, Jnanam, or even you have Bhagavata Dharmam. Even you may get all these things from this world. You may get all these things in this world. But if you do not have Shraddha inside, that you will still be rotating here, not knowing what this means, Brahma Vidya. Actually, Dharmam, Jnanam, Bhagavata Dharmam is all to ultimately get us this realization, isn't it? Knowledge of the soul, to realize the self. That's the goal at the end. So, you may have learned Bhagavata Dharmam, Krishna consciousness in other words, Bhagavata Dharmam. You may have studied all the Shastram, Jnanam you may have. And you may be following all the religious principles also, Dharmam, in life. But if Shraddha is not there, then Krishna says nothing will happen. That is what those two lines at the end. Aprapyamam nivartande mrityu samsara vartmani. See that? And this is what happens to most of the people. Most of the people. Initially, we will take spiritual life through books we read, or we see through eyes something, somebody practicing, or affected by someone who has been following that process. You take to it. And then what happens after a while? You drop it. Why? There is no Shraddha inside. Shraddha. So, Shraddha's importance, Krishna is saying. Krishna is saying, such a person, what will happen to him is, he may have taken to Krishna consciousness, he may have been practicing it for some period of time, and he may have studied the books also. He may have studied the books also. Knowledge may be there in him. And he may be busy with also that he knows what is dharmam adharmam, religious, how to live a spiritual life, he's practicing it all. But if Shraddha is not there, he will still rotate here in this world. This is a very important thing. It may be very painful to hear this, but it is like that. Importance of Shraddha. Shraddha is the key. Shraddha is another form of bhakti actually. Bhakti and Shraddha is not different. If bhakti doesn't have come or Shraddha doesn't happen, it will simply become a mental or intellectual exercise. Sometimes you get attracted by something and you follow it for some time, is it not? And then what happens? After a while you drop it. You couldn't hold on to that. Why? Because you didn't find, I don't fancy it anymore, they say. So if you take spiritual life like a fancy item, then it won't stay. It will become a fancy thing. So it happens to many people that they take to it and then sometime they leave it. Well, in my youth, I did something like that. I joined a movement called Hare Krishna movement for a few years and gave it a try, they say. I gave it a try, but after that, it didn't work for me. A few years I tried and then I left it. And then I was told that you'll all come back in the next life. Like this, people talk all sorts of things. They'll ask you, oh, is that gonna, a lot of time was wasted. Oh, no, you're not wasting any time. It'll come back to you. You'll start from where you stopped. So like that, some excuse there for that. But Krishna is, that is not Shraddha. Such talk is not Shraddha. Shraddha means constantly fixed on the goal and going like a rocket towards that goal. That is what is Shraddha means. Shraddha means no compromise anywhere at any time. You have taken the path. You have accepted the Shastram is correct. You have accepted what the Acharyas and the great realized souls have spoken is correct. There you have no doubt. Because when you come to Vyavaharam, transactions in this world, normally what happens is, due to Vyavaharam in this world, the Vyavahara Logam, that world, Vyavahara Logam will upset everything. You may have developed a little Shraddha in spiritual life. A little bit, not much. A little Shraddha you have got in the Shastram. A little Shraddha you have in the words or the instructions of the great souls. But as soon as you go to Vyavaharam, what happens? They will upset the whole thing. Because your Shraddha is so little that you can't withstand that onslaught from the world. They completely bulldoze you. And then you will see for many years and years you will go away. And then you start one day start thinking, it was better that I continued pursued that path, but then it's too late. You can't do anything about it. A lot of people are like that, floating in this world today. I see this all the time. You will see in the temples, in the ashrams, everywhere. People come, they'll stay for a few years, and then they will go. They can't stay anymore. And or those who are staying, is there some benefit there by staying there? Those ones will stay. Either they will leave because they have such a good Shraddha, they will leave and go. Because they'll find out that this is not going to help me at the end. I have to find something serious, somewhere genuine thing, they'll go. Or others who have no faith in the Shraddha wasn't there, so they go and they try something else after that. So like these two ways people go from this. And or the third group, they are not staying because of Shraddha. Don't take it like that. It's only because that they also thought, realized that there's nothing else in this world to do. So let me try. So that is what Krishna is saying like this. So Shraddha is like this. Without that, if you don't have the Shraddha, Krishna says, no matter whether you stay inside the ashram, outside the ashram, inside the temple, outside the temple, doesn't matter. You will still rotate within this field of karma. Murtyu samsara vatmani, that's the word Krishna is using. No matter where you are, it doesn't matter. So just like you can see that that samsara vatmani, that's the word Krishna is used there. Samsara vatmani means it's like a giant wheel. You know, like in Alton Towers and all that, they have this giant wheel where you sit on that. One time you're on the top, another time you're on the bottom, isn't it? Then you again come to the top and again come to the bottom, like this. This rotation business, this will continue in life, life after life. One day in a good body, next day in a lower body, again another higher body, lower body, like this. So that continuation of that. So Shraddha, this quality Shraddha is the only thing important for knowledge. In other words, realization. Knowledge means jnanam. Jnanam means jnana vijnanam. For realization, Shraddha is the most important thing. For realization. And this Shraddha is a power that comes from the soul. You cannot cultivate it. What you cultivate is through your mind and intelligence. You see, the one power you cultivate in spiritual life, most of the people, you will see this. In different people, the Shraddha level is different. Is it not? But sometimes, generally, it's always, always, Shraddha is a power that comes from the soul. It has to come from the soul. So, because it's not belief. Belief is what's coming from the mind and intelligence. Belief is that coming from the mind and intelligence. So, so what does this Shraddha do? It shows you, finally, that Purna Vastu inside. Andariyami, Krishna inside, it shows that to you that he is there inside. That's what happens at the end. Or it, in other words, if you speak in the word of bhakti, you say it shows Krishna to you. If you speak the words of a jnani, it says it makes you to realize the soul inside, self-realization. There's only difference in the expressions, difference. Whether you follow through jnana margam or bhakti margam or yoga margam, the function or finally the experience is the same. But it's spoken in three different ways. In jnana margam, you will say you will realize the truth, we say, self-realization. In jnana margam, we'll say like that. In bhakti margam, what do we say? It will show Krishna to you. You will see Krishna. You will see Krishna like that. So here, the difficulty, let's understand this properly. In the world, only if you do something, you will get it. Isn't it? You do something, you get the result from that. So, all knowledge of the world, in this world, Loka Vishayam means all topics in this world, only if you put effort into it, either by karmam only, you can get it. Karmam. Karma means you have to study or you have to put effort into it. But here, Krishna is saying that this particular topic, Raja Vidya, is like this, that simply by hearing, you will get it. Simply by hearing, you will get it. Chemistry, physics and all, you also have to study for it, isn't it? You have to study also. You apply your mind and intelligence. Just by hearing physics and chemistry, it won't happen. I have to use my mind and intelligence to know what it is. Whereas this Raja Vidya, you have to keep your mind and intelligence away and simply hear. That is the... And if the Shraddha is there, it will immediately click without any problems. That's the principle. Parikshit, what did he do? 7 days he sat there and he heard. Nothing else. Sutta and Shaunaga, what did they do? They sat and they heard. Uddhava, what did he do? He sat there and he heard. Arjuna, what did he do? He sat there and he heard. Nothing else. Arjuna didn't do any work after. Already he heard it and realized it. Uddhava, same thing. Is it not? Whole life he was working. But when it came to finally leaving this world, he sat down in front of Krishna and Krishna spoke to him and he heard. Nothing else he did. So the same principle here. That is what Krishna is saying here. That perfection in spiritual realization, self-realization, will happen simply by hearing, listening. By listening itself. And simply by listening, you will own it, you will get it, and you attain it. That's the way it has to happen. Now, this will bring up a lot of questions. Of course, it is important to listening from a person who has realized it. That's important. Till you get a person, you have realized it. But, and if we have that Shraddha in us, and if you are hearing from a realized soul who already has it, then it will happen immediately. Immediately it will happen. It's not required. So, on... they give the example in the Upanishads like this, that example is like that, just like the glass is on the top of my nose, it's there, and I'm searching for my glass somewhere, and nobody has to bring my glasses and give it to me. All they have to do, that I'm searching for my glass through the glass, because my mind is not in a proper way. Therefore, I've forgotten that I got the glasses on my nose and I'm searching for it. It is the same way. If somebody points out to me, what are you looking for? The glasses on your own nose. Then how will I be then? I'll feel awkward, isn't it? I was so stupid that I'm searching for something which I already got it. It is the same thing Krishna is saying here. What is required is only a recognition. Recognition of what? Recognition of the soul inside. So, what does the realized soul does? He points out to you that the thing what you are looking for is there inside you. And all from your side, what is required is that recognition from inside. In other words, unlike all other branches of knowledge, this is not something you put effort and get it. Not by working, not by studying, not by... No. This is at an appropriate time, if you have heard it properly, and if there is sufficient Shraddha inside, the spiritual master will point out to you the vastu, subject, what you, vastu, object what you are looking for is within you, is inside you, and you will see it inside yourself. That is self-realization. You will see that inside yourself. Nobody has to bring it from outside. It is seen inside. And this is known as, so that recognition, it is called Kanthabharana Nyayam. Kanthabharana Nyayam they call it. Kanthabharana Nyayam means, Kantham is the neck, Abharanam is the jewelry. So a lady who had a very expensive jewelry on her neck, she has been searching for that everywhere. She was already wearing it, but she has forgotten that. And somebody points out to her, look, it's already there on your neck. What are you searching for? Then she realized it's already there. And this logic is called Kanthabharana Nyayam. And that is the logic for the soul. Soul, you can't show it outside. It is there inside. So somebody has to point out to you that it's there in you, inside you. And that's, and then you recognize it and the business is over. That is self-realization. And the business is over. That is what, so just like you saw the glasses through your glass, what has happened here? So as soon as it was shown to you about your glasses or the jewelry in the neck, what it happened is, in your Shraddha has been taken to that spot and you created a recognition inside you. Is it not? It created a recognition inside you. Yes, the chain is on my neck or the glass is on my nose. All that happened there is that somebody pointed out to you and your attention has straight away gone on to the object. In the similar way, self-realization is also that after hearing for a long period of time, if your Shraddha has gone to a very higher level, suddenly if you get to meet a self-realized soul, he will straight away point out to you, there it is inside you and you will get it straight away. That is the process. Long period of Shravanam, many years of Shravanam about the soul, about Shravanam. And after hearing many years, your Shraddha wakes up inside. You became very much in the Shraddha has built up a lot inside. Once that Shraddha builds up, and if you've gone to a very higher degree of Shraddha, suddenly you meet with someone who has already realized it totally. And if you come to contact with him, straight away that person points out to you the vastu or the object what you are looking for is inside you and you will see it there itself. This is the process. So, in the case of, you can see so many examples, many, many, all examples in spiritual life is, works on this principle. This is the principle. In Bhagavatam, Krishna mentions this to Uddhava also, isn't it? Krishna says, I come outside as the spiritual master, and from inside, I push it, take your attention from the world outside. From inside, I pull it inwards. From inside, Krishna pulls it inwards. That's why we say Shraddha comes from the soul. This is because of this. Atmano gurur atmaiva purushasya visheshada pratyakshena anumanabhyam shreyasam anuvindade Bhagavadam. So what does he do? Inside Krishna, he pulls that Shraddha power which comes from the soul, that pulls our attention away from the world inwards. And then, when that is not sufficient, finally, Krishna comes outside as the spiritual master and gives a push inwards. That's it. Finished. Business is over. It must happen at that time. If it has not happened, it means somewhere something is wrong. Somewhere in the process, something has gone wrong. That's what it means. But the process is like this. Almano gurura almaiva purushasya visheshada pratyakshenam anumanabhyam shreyasam anuvindade. This is the principle. Whole, everything is interconnected. It's not, they're all separate things. Spiritual master, shastram, the soul, Krishna, everything together. They are not separate. Everybody doing their job separately. No. They all together operate it to bring us to the state of self-realization. Finally, to know what we are. That's all what happens at that point. So all aprapyad avidyaya bhadi tan nashe praptavad bhadi sukandhabharanam yatha. That's what it is. Aprapyad avidyaya bhadi tan natho praptavad bhadi sukandhabharanam yatha. In other words, same thing, that the jewelry in the neck he did not see, and when he got it, he realized it, that's already there. So when what you experience at that time, that's the same feeling you will get it when you realize the self. That's what Krishna is saying there. So so just like sometimes somebody has lost the jewelry and they're saying that somebody has stolen it. Jewelry has been stolen. And but you're worrying about it, or who stole my expensive jewelry. But then suddenly someone comes and points out to you that it's already there on your neck. It's not been stolen. And you got it back. Similarly, soul also, the soul, we are saying we don't know where it is. Does it exist? This, that, so many doubts we have created within ourselves about the soul. Isn't it? And we say, oh, it's never possible to find the soul. And then added to that, the world has created enough doubt in our mind about the soul. Isn't it? Says, oh, who has seen the soul? You may be wasting your time. Few words is enough. Whole strength is gone. Somebody has to come and tell you, why are you wasting such a valuable life in searching for something which you have not seen even? If they put it like this to you, many often it happens. That's why sometimes people come to spiritual life, and then suddenly a few words from a person like that is sufficient. Whole strength what you have developed over so many years, in 1 minute, gone. It's gone with that. So the same thing. So that's what Krishna says here, that this process, perfection also, in the same case with the soul, like the chain, we don't know where it is, it's there, I can't see it, I keep saying this. And when somebody says, another person comes and tells me, look, you're wasting your time, there's no such thing called the soul, that's it, finished, everything gone. So here, like Kandhabharanam, it says, Kandhabharanyayam is for that, they have spoken, that like the chain, when it was shown to you, you have seen it, is it not? In the same way, after, when there is sufficient Shraddha built up inside through hearing process, and when you become qualified at a certain stage, when the Shraddha is very good, at that point if you get to meet that realized soul, and when he points out to you at that time, look, the thing what you are looking for is right there inside you, and you start seeing it straight away, realizes that straight away inside. So and that attention falling on the soul, on the individual inside, on the soul inside, is only will happen when a realized soul points out to you. When a realized soul points out to you. Till then, it won't happen. Up to that time, what we are doing is, we are building up the Shraddha inside. That's all you can do. Build up the Shraddha inside. At some point in time, when that Shraddha has become very strong inside, Krishna will make sure then the right person will come. That is the system. All arrangements are there in the nature. Krishna's arrangement, if you look into all the great devotees, realized souls, you will see this. It's not by your effort it will happen. Your part of it is to develop that Shraddha. That's our part. But rest of it is in Krishna's hands. When Shraddha is built up sufficient, at the appropriate time, to bring the right person in front of you, to show that the presence of the soul inside, that is Krishna's responsibility, not ours. That's the way this material, this, just like in material life we're making plans and organizing things, in a similar way, in spiritual life also, Krishna has set up certain process. And that's the only thing that will work. Not according to my plan. It won't work like that, in that way. So that's why it mentions like that. So, now, this Shraddha, Remember this also. This Shraddha, the power that comes from the soul, when does it become impure? That is another question, isn't it? Shraddha becomes impure when it is touched by mind. When it is touched by the mind, it becomes impure. It becomes impure. Shraddha becomes impure as soon as it is touched by the mind. As soon as it is touched by the mind. Example they give like this, that the when you take this crude oil from the ground, when you take the crude oil from the ground, then you send it to the refinery, isn't it? Oil, you know the oil refining process. The oil goes to the refinery, and in the refinery they start purifying at different grades of purification happens. It develops from there crude oil to kerosene, and then from there diesel and petrol, like that. And then finally they have the aviation fuel. Is it not? Aviation fuel. So what is happening there? It gets more and more purified, and they get a higher degree of purification happens there. And finally they use that for the rocket also. The rocket fuel, they call it. It's in a very high degree of purity. Therefore, it goes like a rocket. It flies like that, isn't it? So here, the energy in that rocket fuel and the energy in the kerosene or in the crude oil or in the diesel or petrol, all that energy has come from the ground only. Only from the ground it has come, isn't it? Similarly, the mind also, this thing called mind, when it gets keep on getting purified in different stages, it keeps getting purified more and more and more, day after day, it is the same thing called mind which turns into Shraddha. You see, this is how it works. The mind, now we call it as the mind. Why? It's like the crude oil. It's like the crude oil. But as soon as you start purifying inside, when purification happens through bhakti, this mind will eventually get to such a high degree of purity, it's not mind anymore, it is Shraddha then. Mind comes from the soul, you know that. Mind is energy from the Chit Shakti. And how does this mind influence us? The effect of the mind, Upanishad says, Krishna also says in the Bhagavad Gita, that mind gets its power from the food, what we eat, isn't it? The food is extracted, the most subtle part of the food becomes the mind. Most subtle part of the food becomes the mind. And in the middle, the part of it, which is not so subtle, that turns into flesh in the body. And the most gross part, we release from the body. Everything that comes in, the food that goes in, the most subtle part becomes the mind. Less subtle becomes the gross body. And the most gross part we release from the body. We release from the body. Similarly, all the liquids what we drink, the most subtle part will turn into the prana and to the mind. Also it helps. The gross body, it becomes like that. And then the subtle part, less gross than that, turns into blood. And most gross one part of it goes as the urine and other liquids from the body discharge. Sweat, urine and all that is the gross side of it. So mind and the body and the prana, mind and the food, they have a very close connection that way. Very close connection that way. So Krishna is saying here that Shraddha Shakti, mind becomes the power of Shraddha. Shraddha comes from that. So what does the Shraddha does? When the mind has become Shraddha, as I mentioned, most impure state it is called the mind. As it gets purified day by day, finally when it's very pure, it becomes Shraddha. And that Shraddha, what does it do? The first thing what it does is, it stops, takes your attention away from the world. You don't look into the world anymore. World is not interesting. the world is not interesting anymore. Because you started realizing there is something more subtle than the world inside me. And all my attention goes away from the world and go inward looking. And this is what the life of the rishis are. All the sages, if you look, this is all what they have done. That through the purification process, it comes to such a level that they have lost attraction to the world and all attraction went inwards towards the soul. All the attention, Shraddha, went towards the soul. So, when that becomes attention in the world, the same Shraddha, if it is in the attention in the world, it is called Jada Shakti, Jadam. World is Jadam, dead matter it is. And if your attention is in the dead matter, it is called Jada Shakti. It's called Jada Shakti. And when the attention is inside, when it is purified and the Shraddha falls on the soul, it's called Chit Shakti. It's called Chit Shakti. In the Lalita Sahasranamam, while addressing Devi, because she is the manifestation of this Chit Shakti, Radharani in other words, in the Vaishnava tradition, it is Radharani. Shaiva tradition, they call it Sri Parvati. And or Sita Devi, in different ways, she is, but the Shakti is the same. It is the same Shakti who is addressed as Radharani, Sita Devi, or Sri Parvati. In different names, they are addressed. Name, don't worry about that. Name is not the important. The function is more important. So there you can see there, Chit Shakti, Chedana Rupam, Jada Shakti, Jadalmiga. In the Lalita Sahasranamam, that is how it is spoken. Because that is a prayers based on yoga, more based on the yogam and jnanam, those prayers. It's not a mundane-like thing. There it says, Chit Shakti Chetana Rupam Jada Shakti Jadalmiga. In other words, that Shraddha Shakti inside, if it goes inside towards the Chetana or the soul inside, it becomes Chit Shakti. And if it goes into the, it starts flowing into the world freely, finding out where the planets are, how far they are from here, and all these kinds, it becomes Jada Shakti. Chit Shakti Chedana Rupam Jada Shakti Jadalmiga. It is one of the prayers in the Lalita Sahasranam. Beautiful prayers they are, explaining to us how your Shraddha, depending on which direction, how pure it is, how it goes its attention inwards or outwards. If it goes inwards, it becomes Chit Shakti, Chedana Rupam. It takes the spiritual nature. If it goes outside, it becomes Jada Shakti, Jadalmiga. All those whose attention is in the world, more for the less, like you can see all the scientists and all the big men who are always open, wow, what's going on here? All the time looking, isn't it? And then they will sign, now today, yesterday or something, they were saying there was some universe, they found two suns are there apparently instead of one sun. What difference it makes to us whether there are two suns or three suns there? So what does it matter? You are going to die tomorrow and leave the body from go. And you are worried about some kind of craziness. Why? Jada Shakti Jadalmiya. The head has gone that way. That attention has gone into the, because Shraddha has not developed. More attention, it has become more contaminated, the consciousness. Therefore, Jada Shakti Jadalmiya. So, very important thing, that mind or this Shraddha does not become external. Bahirmukham. Bahirmukham means going out, outward nature. That has to stop and go to inwards towards yourself, towards the soul. And if it happens, this is the most amazing thing. If it happens, that's the most amazing thing. It's the most amazing thing to happen in our life. That to lose the attention in the world and to attention to turn towards ourselves, towards the soul inside. So the most interesting thing is, here, you will see this in the Kathopanishad. When Nachiketas went to Yama, Yama tested him first. How far has he his attention inside? Or is it in the world? So what does he do? He tries to bribe him, giving all sorts of allurements, saying that I'll give you thousands of elephants, thousands of horses, thousands of chariots, thousands of beautiful upstairs women, and so many other material happiness in this world, Yama offers to Nachiketas. And says to Nachiketas, why do you want to take advantage of this offer? Nachiketa says, I have not come here for this. Yama says, your Shraddha is perfect. And it is only after that he talks to him about the soul. Brahma Vidya is given to him. Young child, about 7-8 years old, seeing the Shraddha in Najiketas, Yamaraja was shocked to see that Shraddha in him. So you can see in Upanishad, they give importance to this, that the attention goes away from the world towards the soul. Till that happens, all our spiritual life is very much on a, like that. It will be like that. It will be going on day after day, but it's not going to, much, no, it's not going to happen. So, first thing what happens is, the mind, which is not Shraddha yet, it will hear about the truth. It will hear about the truth. And that question will develop that, who am I and how did I happen to be here in this situation? All these questions will come. And then the next thing is, what is this thing called the mind? Where is this mind coming from? And you will also notice, where is this mind taking birth? Obviously, these are questions we have to ask, isn't it? You know that when we discuss Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, the three states, you have seen in the morning when you wake up from the deep sleep state, the first thing, what does it happen? First thing, I comes. I am waking up, isn't it? Me, the most important person in the world. I have woken up. And Ahankaram, birth of the false ego. And from that comes the mind. It is after that the mind comes, is it not? And from the mind then comes the world after that. Then the body and then the world. Body and the world. So Ahankaram, mind, and then the body, and then the world. In the night when you go back to sleep, the reverse process. You leave the world first, then you leave your body, and then you leave your mind, and then you leave your ego, and then you go on back to your Surupam, to your real identity. After that, it's not. In the morning, you come back again to this situation. The question, what will come to that person whose Shraddha has woken up, whose mind has become Shraddha, powerful that way, he will be asking these questions. Who am I? Who am I? Who is this person? I am saying. Everybody is saying, I am. Who is this I am? That question will come. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you look, you will see exactly the same thing, the third canto. The first thing, Brahma sat on the lotus flower and asked the question, what was the question? Who am I? That was the first question Brahma has asked, our great grandfather. He has asked the same question when he sat down in the, after thousands of years of penances. These things in the Bhagavatam is only to give us an understanding how the spiritual life progresses in a person. Initially, Brahma sat down and he looked in all the directions. Attention was in the world. So they say that when he looked in the front, one head came out there. When he looked to the left, he saw another head coming up here. Another head came up there. So like this, four directions, four heads came out for him. Now we will think that, oh, fantastic. Every side you're looking, heads are coming out everywhere in the world. The idea behind all this is to tell us that your attention will go in all directions, all four directions. And Brahma looked in all directions and he couldn't find any answer. He couldn't find any answer. You won't get an answer by looking outside. That's the first thing. So he kept looking that way and he couldn't find an answer. Eventually, when his Shraddha Shakti, Brahma's Shraddha Shakti became stronger, he asked a question in the third canto. You will see there that Eshaha Aham Kaha. That is Abjayoni. That Yoso Aham Abjaprishtaha. Ka Eshayosom Abjaprishtaha. In the third canto, in the eighth chapter, you will see that verse. In the third canto, eighth chapter. He says, who am I sitting on this lotus flower? Abjaprashta means lotus flower. Who is situated on the lotus flower? I'm situated on the lotus flower and who am I? That was the first question. By that question alone, Krishna is saying to us, this is the question all of us have to ask first. Who am I? If you're not asking that question, you're not ready for Srimad Bhagavatam. In other words, that's what it means, huh? Because Brahma has asked that question. People think reading Bhagavatam means hearing a lot of stories and keeping all the stories and repeating the stories to others. స్టోరీస్ ఆర్ దేర్ ఇన్ ద భాగవతం సో దాట్ అవర్ ఇంప్యూర్ మైండ్ ఇన్ ఉపనిషత్స్ దెర్ ఇస్ నాట్ సో మచ్ అబౌట్ స్టోరీస్ స్పోకెన్ బికాస్ దాట్ ఈస్ మెన్ ఫర్ దోస్ హూ హ్యావ్ దాట్ హై డిగ్రీ ఆఫ్ శ్రద్ధ ఇన్ దమ్ ఇన్ ది ఇన్ ది ఇన్ ది ఇన్ ది ట్రెడిషన్ ఇట్ ఈస్ లైక్ దాట్ దోస్ హూ హ్యావ్ గాట్ వెరీ హై శ్రద్ధ దే డోంట్ రిక్వైర్ టు బి స్పోకన్ ఇన్ దిస్ వే that Brahma was sitting on the lotus flower and he looked in all directions and then suddenly asked a question. No, those who have got Shraddha, they will ask this question straight away. Who am I? That question. Who am I? Eshaha aham kaha. So, because Brahma asked this question, he got the name Kaha. That's how Brahma has another name like that. Kaha. Kaha is his name. And he got this name because he was the first person who asked the question. It's the 18th verse. In the third canto, 8th chapter. Sitting on the... That's why that verse is there in the third canto. That's spoken before the creation. So, he asked this question, who am I, who am I? That was the question Brahma was asking. And so, the important thing here is that an intelligent person has to ask this question in the same way. For example, you can see those who are householders, they will inquire about their own family life first, isn't it? Is everything peaceful at home? that is a corrupted form of that inquiry inside. Corrupted form. That he thinks about realizing the self, instead he is inquiring about the family and life in the world and all other arrangements here. So, very sharp intelligence, one who has got that, he should inquire about himself first, not about the family. And the one who is in a very gross level, he will go and inquiring about the whole country and about the whole world. And the most gross person, he will go and inquire about the whole universe. It's the reverse way it is. People think that you are inquiring about the universe, you must be a very big person, isn't it? No. From Shastram is telling us, if you are running after the whole universe, inquiring everything, what's going on everywhere, like our great scientists, that they are inquiring everything, what's going on. He is supposed to be, his intelligence is the most corrupted intelligence. Most corrupted intelligence. It's gone so bad that he cannot get that Shraddha anymore. It's impossible. It's impossible. It's impossible. Because the Shraddha has gone it is distributed. The idea is to bring it back into the source, where this question is coming, who am I? Krishna mentions this in the Bhagavatam, Sayesha Jivo Vivaraprasudhi, in the 12th chapter, in the Ekadasham. Why? Vivaraprasudhi, Sayesha Jivo, Jivo, where is he coming from? Who am I? Where is he coming from? Where is this I am referring to? Where is he coming from? Who generated this inside? How did this come? So, first thing is, you have to have doubts about yourself, not about the world, or the planets, and about the family and all. That's all secondary. About doubting about yourself, who am I? That shows that your mind has come to the level of Shraddha. That is the indication of that. If your Shraddha has grown inside, this question will naturally come from inside, who am I? If that question is, if you are asking where is the Mars planet or where is the Jupiter planet, if you are inquiring, that shows your Shraddha where it is. What you have got is a very strong mind and intelligence, but not Shraddha. Not Shraddha hasn't happened. So, when that purification happens inside, from that onwards, he will not get disturbed by the external subjects in this world. Things what's going on in this world will be of no attraction to him. That's why you can see throughout Bhagavatam, when they present Shuka Brahma Rishi, Jadabharata, Rishabhadev, Dattatraya Maharshi, and such realized souls, Markandeya Maharshi, there are many like that. Study them and look at their personality. Personality means I'm seeing their behavior or their pattern of life in this world. No Shraddha in the world. They did not care for anything in this world. Bala Unmatta Pishachavad says about Shukadeva Goswami. Bala, like a child he was playing. child have no interest, isn't it? Very much in the, he doesn't build any big projects in this world, the child. Similarly, he has no interest in the building big projects here. Unmatam, always like a mad person. Mad person doesn't have care for anything here. They have no interest here. Pishachavat, like a ghost, he wanders around here. Because he knows this world has no practically any reality behind it. That understanding, that deep realization inside, that's what makes it like that. So, at that point, what will happen is that, so Krishna is saying here that you can see that sometimes in satsangam also, you will notice that sometimes people hear a lot and then they have doubts and they will ask questions also. So, at that time, what is expected is that they should not ask the questions. Question asking is a useless thing, which shows that the person is in the platform of the mind and intelligence. If you are not asking questions, generally what do we say? If you ask questions, you are intelligent, we say. In spiritual life, if you don't ask questions, that means the message is going in. That means you are developing that Shraddha properly. Shraddha is working. Either it will work and it will bring results. But if you are asking questions, it means that Shraddha is not building up inside. So it often happens like that. Very, very proper spiritual life is based on these things. It's not all the show what you make in this world. It's all useless at the end. Okay, temporarily you will feel a good kick inside. Kind of intoxicated state you will feel, I'm changing this world and I'm going to change the world, change the whole thing upside down. Big plans and ideas will come into your head and you will run around here and there trying to do something, but finally you will see it was all a waste of time. You can't do anything here. World will go its own way. What you have to do is to, what have you been sent here for? What Upanishads and Bhagavatam is saying to us, know yourself first and escape from here. And that's what the perfection of that. That's what it mentions here. Then, so first thing is, when a question comes inside, doubt comes inside about spiritual life, you have to ask the question, who has the doubt? Doubt is not important. Doubt is not the important thing. In Vedantam, it's always like that. For example, I get angry. If I get angry, I should not be bothered what made me angry. Normally that's what we do, isn't it? We'll immediately think about what made me angry. And I'll start analyzing the reason. What did I do wrong? Why did I get upset with him? What did he do wrong for that? Or what? Those things should not be even thought about. You should not even think about it. The only thing you have to ask is, who is getting angry? Who is getting angry? So, in other words, you have to ask this question. The person who is getting angry, is he real or is it false? The person. Is he real or is he false? Because by verbal answer, in spiritual life, there is no use. By verbal answer. If you ask a question and somebody gives you a verbal answer, it's all a waste of time. I've seen people asking question after question. Years and years I've asked question. And finally they concluded there is no such thing called soul. So what was the use of all those questions? What had happened then? 20, 30 years they were asking questions right in the front sitting there. And finally they came to the conclusion there is no thing called the soul. And they left and gone. So this will happen. These people who are asking questions, people are saying they are very intelligent. He's asking questions all the time. Question number 1, 2, 3, like that list of questions people have. So in spiritual life, we shouldn't fall into that problem. That's a disease actually, this asking questions. It's a disease actually. It's a completely misunderstanding about spiritual life. Spiritual life is very much centered around that deep absorption inside and able to look inwards. And then Shraddha is not building up. If it is all a question of questions and answers, the whole world should be full of realized souls, isn't it? But we don't see when you go out in the street. It's not many Vidhi Vidhi. All these universities and educational institutions, they should be produced a lot of realizers, because they are good at asking questions, are they not? They're very good in asking questions. And there are a lot of them who are good in answering also. When you look into YouTube, you'll see there big, big discussions going on, questions and answers. But there's nothing coming out from that at the end. And then he writes a book and misleads many others also. Somebody else, there's a lot of people who buy these books also. They read some. So anyway, so here Krishna is saying this verbal answer, questions and verbal answer, that's okay for the, you know, in the television they have this quiz, isn't it? Lot of quiz, lot of people. They two groups sitting one against the other, they compete and points, you know, what they have that. So there it is okay. But such people, that kind of nature and thinking, it won't help in spiritual life. It won't help. And the same people, when they take Bhagavad Gita, you know what they do first thing? They'll say, how many verses are there in the Bhagavad Gita? That's what matters to them. How many verses are there in the Bhagavad Gita? Or in Mahabharatam, they'll find out how many verses are there in the Mahabharatam. Now, if I come to know how many verses there are in the Bhagavad Gita, what good is it for me? It's a totally ignorant way of study. This is the problem. This is the problem. Some people, they are, and then what they do, they start separating out the verses. This is all their business. And they print one book, important verses of the Bhagavad Gita. They'll bring some 10-20 verses, one book, and then distribute for preaching, I believe. What are they preaching? How can you preach Bhagavad Gita like this? They select some verses from the book. These verses, they've decided. They decided. Krishna didn't decide. They have decided these verses are important in the Bhagavad Gita. This is the beauty of that. They say there are 700 verses is too much for us to manage. So we'll pick up some of the important ones so that I'll impress the other with my knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita. And they'll pick certain important ones which they felt is important, and they'll print one book out of it and they will distribute. If you remember these verses, it's enough. Other verses not important. This is ajnanam. This is avidya. If you follow this route, you won't get anywhere. You will be there where you have started after 50 years. You will be there where you are. So, same thing with the Mahabharatam also. Mahabharatam also. These are people who have that research mentality. You know, they like to doing research in everything. They think their research is so important that they have to do research in spiritual life also. They'll do some research like this. This nature is very dangerous. In the Shastram, a word is given for that. It's called Bihiranga Parikshanam. That's the word they use. Bihiranga Parikshanam. That means they want to experiment with things. Everything they want to experiment and find out. So, therefore, when Acharya Swamiji wrote his commentary on Bhagavad Gita, he gave a title for those such people. He says they are called Kakadanda Parikshanam. Kakadanda Parikshanam means some people, because they are so research oriented, so much into research, because they are used to collecting research and degrees, isn't it? That's all what they have done. So they said they couldn't find any topic for a research. So what they did was, they went and caught hold of a crow and brought it. And they started counting how many teeth the crow has got. And then they got another crow and started counting. Like this, this is the research he is doing all the time. Researching all the time. And he says, Kakadanda Parikshanam. That's what he calls it as. He says, and he's not able to utilize his time properly. Acharyas calls it like this. Those who don't know how to use their time properly. And as soon as they get a time, they want to start a research. Or what is the subject for that? Subject is this, that get hold of all the crows in the country and put them together and open their mouth and start counting their teeth. How many teeth they have got. So, similarly, this verbal questions and verbal answers. we have not inquired after that, verbal answers. But instead, what is inside me? What is inside me? Who am I from this? What is that coming through my senses, through my mind? Where is all this coming from, these questions? Who is the person experiencing all these things? So, taking the attention away from the experience to the experiencer, who is experiencing it, is more important. That is where the Vedantam and the Vedic knowledge gives a completely different dimension to the modern science and the modern way of life totally takes our attention away from the object but goes towards the subject. Who is experiencing is more important, not what you are experiencing. What you are experiencing has no meaning. So many things experience have come and gone in life. But who is experiencing all these things, that's more important. That's more important. So those people who have habit of doing the research work, they also study Bhagavad Gita, do they not? Sometimes. And then they start writing commentary on Bhagavad Gita, what they have studied after that. So what will happen is that they have found out this word, I've studied Bhagavad Gita. They've heard this word called Atma, Brahman, Maya, Jiva, Karmam. All these things they have also got to know from the book. And they will keep repeating these words. But will that solve the problem? That will not solve the problem, isn't it? So it's all a sound only at that time. It's only just a sound. That's all. It's just a sound. So we'll stop there for a few minutes. So this verse, Ashraddhadhana Purusha Dharmasyasya Parandava. Krishna is saying, talking about Shraddha, isn't it? Shraddha is the reason, Krishna says. Shraddha makes it happen. If there is no Shraddha, it's all a waste of time at the end. As that's what we've seen before, that people will study Bhagavad Gita. They study Bhagavadam. In the universities also they do. They're making research on Bhagavadam. I don't know where it will end up to their research. It's the greatest folly to do research in Puranam, particularly in Puranam. You won't get anything from that. And they're trying to, now they're saying that we will teach you Bhagavadam systematically, I believe. Systematically they're teaching Bhagavadam. I don't know what that systematic study means. Bhagavadam, there is only one way of knowing Bhagavadam. Bhaktya Bhagavadam Yayam. Who says, Bhakti means Shraddha here. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says this. Bhaktya Bhagavadam Yayam Na Vilpatya Nati Gaya. Those who have not understood this principle, they will advertise. You can see advertisement of Bhagavadam courses going on. They are advertising there, saying that we will teach you Bhagavadam systematically. There is no other greater foolish statement than this. It's so foolish, completely foolish. No idea what they are doing about it. What can you do? This is where we are at. So when it is like that, when somebody is teaching you Bhagavadam systematically, be careful. Then it's not be Bhagavadam, it will be something else. That is the same people who do these things. That they will learn something from the books and they'll start thinking that they have. Therefore, Krishna is saying here that such approach will not work. That's why this verse has been spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. Ashraddha dana purusha dharmasyasya parandava aprapyamam nivartande mrutyu samsara vatmani. In four lines, Krishna finished the business. And Arjuna got it. Who was meant to get it, he has got it. He understood that Shraddha is the key factor behind it. So, that's where it's coming from. So, as I mentioned before, such people, they'll study Bhagavad Gita. They'll hear all these words like Atma, Brahman, Jivatma, Paramatma, Maya, Prakriti, all these things, and they would have heard all these words. And if you ask them anything, they'll answer also. All these things they will answer to you. But the sound, if you hear the sound Atma, if I say the word Atma, that won't become Atma, would it? It won't become Atma. That's only a sound. Suppose if I say London, the word London, I say London. What does it mean? It's only a name at the end, isn't it? That's all you will. But you won't experience that, what it is in London. So here the principle is that this vastu, when we keep on saying Atma, Brahman and all, you have to experience it. If you have not experienced it, then it's all waste. Nothing has happened. This is the difficulty in the Paravidya. In Paravidya, it is Nyapti. that matters. Realization, experiencing it, that is what matters. So the vastu, what you are inquiring after or going after, and that if you inquire it in this way, what will happen is, the vastu you are looking for, the vastu you are inquiring after, and you keep on inquiring after, and you are inquiring for Krishna also in the same way, it's all addressed as Bahiranga Parikshanam. It is your research in the world, external research in other words. It is the external research outside. So, whereas if you come to spiritual life, there is only one subject. There's only one subject in spiritual life. What is that? I. What matters is me. That is the subject. It's realizing me is all this is required. All this is required. That means, you know, I mentioned this before. Where is the difference between Vedic way of thinking and the other philosophical schools in this world? Everybody else tells you that I am here, the world is there, the God is there. God, the world and me. Three things. Three things exist. And me, think of God somewhere else, judging me based on my actions in this world, and always fearful of me, I live in this world, one way or the other, good or bad, whatever it is. But when you come to Vedic philosophy, they are not important. God is not the important thing. You realize first you are, and then you will know what others are. What does this world means? What does God means? So, it is a different way of realizing the truth. A little advanced way of realizing the truth. What it says is like this, that for example, we talk about God, and we give God different names, different forms, and different identities, and different places where He is situated at the moment. We will call it in whatever way you like to. So, for us now, God is something, some object outside me, somewhere else, who is present outside me. If you say like that to somebody, either some of them may believe it, that God exists and Krishna is God, or Ramchandra is God, or anybody else for that matter. You may believe it or you may not believe it. Everybody doesn't believe in Krishna, does it? Some people believe in Krishna, some people don't believe in Krishna. They will say that it's all a story that you have written down, like that. So, some people will agree with you, some people may not agree with you. Some people may believe in your words, some people may not believe in that. So, leave that behind, that discussion about that aspect, or quarrel about that, who is God and where does He live and all kind of things. You just have to leave it. And that's one thing, because we don't know about it enough to prove it to somebody, right? We can't prove that to. Somebody asks you, how do you know that Krishna is God? What proof have I got? Only proof I have is the Shastram is telling us, devotees are telling us that God exists and Krishna is God. On the strength of that, I don't know yet. But on the strength of others' words, I have to say to others. That may or may not be acceptable to others. Now, that's one thing. Secondly, as far as the world is concerned, you will never know completely about this world. This is a very interesting thing if you understand it properly. Never you will be able to say that you understand this world completely. You cannot. You will not be able to do that. So, you can see, you can wander around this whole world, and after getting all the knowledge about everything in this world, if you think you will become perfect, you will come to have perfect knowledge about this world. Till now, we haven't seen one person with the full knowledge of this whole world. Full knowledge of this whole world. Nobody has happened so far. It hasn't happened. So, simple example. You will see in the night time, if you look, there's so many stars in the sky. And when sometimes, if you observe carefully, there are certain stars closer to us, certain stars are far away from us. And some of them are brighter than others. Now, there is one star which is closer to the sun, very closer to the sun. And that star, it's closer to the sun, but it shines well in the night. when the sun is not there. It's present there. And it's very closer to this earthly planet also. And the scientists are saying, also the rishis also say, the light from that star to arrive to this, to reach this world, it takes about 4 years. It's that far from here. The light from that star to come here, to get here, it takes about 4 years. That means the light, when it starts from there and it rays to come and hit this earthly planet. Now, you know that the light starts, the scientists also say this, 186,000 miles per second or something. The light travels, isn't it? So, roughly about 300,000 kilometers per second. And so, at that speed, this light travels from that star and it takes roughly 4 years to get here. The light from that star. So, how far is that? You can see that star from this planet. From the earthly planet. And that star is one star which is very close to us compared to many other stars. So you can't even go and inquire about that star, what's going on there. We don't have any knowledge about that. And not only that, even if you inquire in that way, millions and millions of universes are moving around in this creation, and you cannot get everywhere. You can't go to all these places. When I say the world, I don't mean only the planet, the whole creation I'm saying. Not only this earthly planet itself, we don't have the whole knowledge, complete knowledge about it, because if we knew, you can see when the weather forecast goes wrong, shows that we don't have the full knowledge of the world. They're always changing it, isn't it? I think they go out and look at the sun and they come and change it later. I don't know what they do, but that's the way it looks like that. They say one thing today and tomorrow, when you look again, they see they have changed everything. Today they forecast something, but the forecast has changed. But that's not their fault, because it's not possible. That is the thing. To know everything, all the factors that influences the weather, they don't know. Similarly, so many things in body. Now, we'll come to that later. So, everything in this world is unknown. As far as God is concerned, we are completely unknown to us. We accept Krishna's Supreme Personality of Godhead, we pay our obeisances, we study Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, everything. But as a person, how much do you know about Krishna? We don't know. We haven't, whatever we know is what we have read in the books or what we've been told to us by others. But we haven't had a direct experience yet. You can say it is a taste of the water. You can say it is other things what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita about Krishna's presence in here. But Krishna is the Supreme Personality. How much do we know about Him? We don't. So, it becomes a little difficult when somebody asks about Krishna, how to present Krishna to them. Is it not? So, I'm saying that we leave that behind. That's one side of it. The second thing, the world, we know so little about this world. Isn't it? So little about this world, what we know about it. If you keep inquiring about this world, thousands, millions and millions of universes, never your knowledge is going to be perfect at any time, because it's so vast, far beyond your capacity, lifespan and capabilities here, what you have got. And you can't get to all these places anyway. You can't get to all these places. So, in other words, Vaidika way of thinking is, one who is inquiring outside, he will never be able to come to a conclusion, finally. So, therefore, he will never reach a perfection within him or perfect peace of peaceful state, shanti. It is not possible. One who is inquiring in the world, outside. Now, leave behind the God or Supreme Personality Krishna, whatever it is, leave that behind. Leave the world also. And you come to your own body. Forget about everything else. And can you say that you know everything about your body? Who knows? Even the best doctors and physicians and scientists say that is the most amazing thing, this body. That's why when we discuss too much about the body, it has no meaning practically. Actually, it has no meaning, this discussion about this body. because that person who is inside, he is a little different than the body. He will change the body according to his plan inside, one who is inside that, inside us, isn't it? It is he who is running this body, which we forget all the time. We think, oh, I know how to manage myself and I know what I have to do with this body, we say. But it's all just words. What I'm saying is, you don't know about God, you don't know about the world, you don't even know about your own body. This is what our situation here. And you can see within this body itself, and we have got so, as the doctors or scientists say, there are so many cells in this body, isn't it? And that cells are also taking birth, some of them are dying, taking new ones are coming, and it is continuously changing. This body is continuously changing. So when this is continuously changing like this, is it possible to have a perfect knowledge of the body? Never. When the body is continuously changing, you can see when you were a small child, you had one body. That body is not there anymore. That body has gone long ago. And then when you became a teenager, you had one body. That body has also gone. Then you became a young man, you had another body. That body is going or gone. And when you become an old person, you have another body. So it has continuously changed. So which body are you talking about? Which is this body you are talking about? Bodies like this, we say. So you can see our knowledge of God is limited. Our knowledge of the world is limited. Our knowledge about the body is also very limited. This is our present situation. So perfect knowledge is not possible in any of these levels, in the bodily level, or in the level of the world, or in the level of God. It is not possible. That is why in Jnanamargam, when Acharya Swamiji wrote so many books, he wrote one book called Praudha Anubhuti. You can see that on the net also. Praudha Anubhuti it is called. That Praudha Anubhuti, if you study, he is asking one very important question there. The question is this, that you say that you are this body and you say that you know about your body very well, isn't it? But from the realized souls, their answer is nothing exists outside the soul. Nothing exists outside the soul. That you are saying the body is there. The body is there. And you are saying that you know about your body, isn't it? We are all saying that, oh, it's my body. I have to look after my body. I'm feeling pain in my body. I'm feeling pleasure in my body. All these things we say about my body, isn't it? And you have conducted a lot of research to know about your own body. And whatever you have studied about that, all of that, can you tell me what all you know about your own body? Acharya Swamiji is asking this question. Can you tell me that if you know everything about your body, can you tell me about your own body? I can't say about my own body anything. Externally, some few things I can mention. But as far as my bodily existence is concerned, there is very little I know about my own body. And that is the truth. That is the truth. You can see, sometimes we think the doctors know everything about the body, isn't it? Only when they get sick, you ask them how much they know about their own body. Those who have studied 10, 20 years in the university, you have to see this in a completely different way. Don't look, get carried away by all this modern medicine and science and all that. Completely, it is misleading in many ways. Because we get a lot of misunderstanding from that. Nobody knows their own body. That is the reality. Acharya Swamiji is asking that question. You know about your own body, you are telling me. So tell me about your own body. How much do you know about your own body? That's the question he is asking in that book, Praudha Anubhuti. Praudha Anubhuti is addressing these questions to us, that we have falsely thought that we know about our own body. What do we know about our own body? All we know is to eat and how to go to toilet. This is the only things we know. Between what happens, what do we know? What all going on inside? Then we keep experimenting with different things. That's what we do. We know that if this food I take, this reaction may happen. It doesn't suit me, I say. But I don't know what is causing the problem. So many problems develop within the body and I don't have an answer. What has gone wrong? If I knew about my body, I should be able to correct it, isn't it? But I don't know about it. And you go and tell the doctor also. And doctor also is guessing a lot of things based on certain symptoms and everything. And that may or may not be the reason, the problem. May or may not be the problem. This is the reality. It's like that. Sometimes a patient has a lot of pain in the body, goes to the doctor, he looks at it, and very specialist doctors, and says that it is due to arthritis or some pain he was experiencing. Later on, after they went through all the research work, through their MRIs and all of them, they said, realizing that it was cancer, not the arthritis. By now, one or 2 years have gone, the things have got all gone out, spread very fast in the body, or whatever that has happened. So, nobody understands this, but that is the truth. It is the truth. Nobody understands their own body even. We say that we know, but we don't know. Too better to be honest about it. We don't know about so-called what we say about God. We don't know about the world. We don't know about our own body. This is the reality. No perfect answer is possible. Body is like this thing called body is not perfect. It's not perfect. Why? First of all, it's not in our control. It has not come to our control. We are thinking like this. It's in my control. How much this body is in my control? As far as the system is working inside, there are so many things happening I'm completely unaware of. And only when we experience some misery with the body, we go to the doctor and then he sends some tests and this and that. And they'll come out with an answer. Oh, you got this disease. But why it has come, he doesn't have an answer for that. There's no answer to all these questions. It's a completely illusion it is. So, very little we know about this body. Very little we know about this world. So, here you can see, we think that because we know about the world, therefore world is reality. That's how the thinking is, isn't it? We know about the world. And similarly, that's a normal argument. Oh, we know about this world very much, that so much water in this world, so much earth in this world, so many things we know. But so many things we also don't know about this world. But because we know some things about this world, we say that the world is real. Similarly, we know some things about this body, so we say the body is real. This is the logic behind it. Few things we know about this world and about the body. So therefore we think world is real and the body is real. This is it, isn't it? When you come to Vedantam, Krishna is saying like this. Whatever you know, that is not truth. That is the first principle. If you think that you know about something, that is not the truth. That's not the truth. Because truth, you will never be able to know. This is the principle. It's a very important principle. In Pradhanubhuti, he analyzes this in very depth. He says that if you think that you say you know, if you say that you know about something, that is never the truth. And the truth can never be known. No, truth is not to be known. This is the principle behind it. You see, truth is never to be known. If you think that you know about this world, it's not the truth. If you think that you know this body, it is not the truth, because truth can never be known. And very simple logic. As long as your mind doesn't come in and puts a problem there, this is okay. This is easily to understand that, easy to accept that. If you just hear, that is enough. You don't have to, mind doesn't have to. If mind doesn't give you any problem, then it's okay. If you just hear, accept it. This is the point Krishna is making to Uddhava also. If you read Ekadasi Skandam, you will see this. Krishna saying this to Uddhava. Uddhava, this is the reality. Kim badram kim abadram va dvaidasya vastuna kiyat. He says there. You are taking all this as real. This world, this body, everything. Krishna is saying to Uddhava. Because for them, Krishna's point of view is like this. This thing called truth can never be known. This is a very important principle in the Vedantam, in the philosophical conclusions of Krishna. That is when you start appreciating the subtlety of this knowledge. You see, people don't look in this way. Everything they see in the gross level. I've studied this, I've studied that, I've studied so many other things. Similarly, I'll study about the soul also. This is how they are following. But that will not work with the soul. Whatever you have known so far is not the truth. You have known about this world, then it is not the truth. If you have known about this body, it is not the truth. Because you can see this. Whenever you read about the world in the Shastram, it's presented in a completely different way. It's not spoken like the way science is talking about the world, isn't it? Or about the sun planet, or about the moon planet. Everything is spoken in a completely different way. So, important thing is, as long as if you simply hear this, you don't have to use your mind or intelligence and start analyzing this. Then it's gone. Then you'll get disturbed. And what you hear, like this, what's spoken, you hear and then you do vicharam. Vicharam means this, atma vicharam, swatma vicharam, and there's the soul. So, you remember this, whatever you know, that is not the truth. And whatever the truth is, it cannot be known. That is the fundamental principle. Whatever you know is not the truth. And whatever is the truth, that cannot be known. I don't know whether that makes sense. So, now after that, we'll see what does truth means. See, this Rajavidya Rajaguhyam chapter is a very complex chapter. Because of this reason only, we are conditioned by the material life, isn't it? Material knowledge, materialistic way of life, material way of thinking. It has gone in so deeply inside us. When we come to spiritual life also, we bring the same process and start trying to work it out in the same way. Like we have solved the equation in the mathematics or we have solved some of the technological problems. In the same way, we want to apply that to spirit soul also. But soul does not follow any of those rules. That's where this difficulty comes. So now we'll talk about the truth and then you will get to know what we are saying. Important things to remember is this. What you know is not the truth and truth cannot be known. Knowing means through the mind and intelligence. That's what it means. So, truth means in Shastram, what comes out from inside. What it has to come from inside, not from outside. Only then that is only the truth in this world. Because in the body, inside us, those who believe in the soul, believe means also have accepted the presence of the soul, the very existence of the soul is knowledge. So, if ever truth has to be known, it has to come from that source where it is present. And that is the only truth. That is the only truth. Because once that is woken up inside, in other words, the self, the soul inside, if he is woken up, that is the truth. So here, we have seen two things. One, knowing things. And the other one, waking up. They are two different processes. You seen that? One is knowing things through the mind, through the intelligence, and whatever process you are following to acquire, and that is knowledge, you are acquiring it, thinking that it is the truth. Shastram says that is not the truth. Anything that has come through knowing is not the truth, and truth cannot be known. This principle, you have to very deeply take it seriously on board. Otherwise, you won't make progress in spiritual life. Otherwise, you will do a lot of things. You will also do a lot of studying books like the ass eating the grass. You'll keep on eating it, the grass. Ass eats the grass happily, isn't it? It doesn't know anything else. That will be our spiritual life then, if you study books like that. Shastram, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, you should never study in that way. By the way, like we study other books. Because it will not get you anywhere. It will be another confusion altogether. And then when somebody comes to you with hundreds of questions about that, somebody asks you, where is the Meru mountain? And it says in the Bhagavatam, it is 10 times bigger than Himalayas. And if I look at it, I can't find it anywhere. So next thing, what do? You reject Bhagavatam. Is it not? And if you read Bhagavatam in the fifth canto particularly, after fifth canto was published, at least 50% devotees left. that was the result of that. They couldn't do anything after that. Because why? This problem. That is why these fundamental things in spiritual life, you have to be very clear. That what you think as knowledge, what you think as you know, is not the truth. That's the first thing. And truth cannot be known through like other things what you know. Truth cannot be known like that by studying and by reading and things like that. It cannot be known. What important thing is, one is knowing things, the truth has to wake up from inside. That satyam jnanam anandam brahmam. In other words, nitya mukta buddha, nitya shuddha buddha mukta swarupam. That swarupam of the soul, when it reveals to you, then that is truth. That is the only truth. What the soul reveals from inside is the only truth in this whole thing. Nothing else is the world is not the truth. Even God is not the truth. Because you don't know. You are all talking based on the books and the others' words, is it not? You don't know anything. You are not experienced yet, Krishna, have you? But so God as a person, we are thinking that even that is not the truth. World is not the truth. Body is not the truth. But one thing is there. From inside, when the soul, if anything is coming from that, that is the truth. Why? It is woken up from there and that will never leave. It is from that principle Krishna is saying the whole 10th chapter. If you study Bhagavad Gita 10th chapter, you will understand this principle is this. In this principle that Krishna has spoken. So, two things here. One thing, knowing it, and the other one is waking up inside. What has woken up inside is your experience, in other words. You are experiencing it directly, is it not? It's not knowing. That is why Krishna uses the word pratyakshavagamam dharmyam. Pratyaksham it is. Pratyaksham means you are directly experiencing it inside without anything from outside, without any support from outside. So, that is the truth. The other one is called, knowing is called pratiti. In Shastram, the word they use is pratiti. Pratiti means perception. You have learned something, you read something, and it's only a temporary thing that can change tomorrow. It may not be the reality. Whereas, the one thing in Vedam, what they give importance to is that thing which doesn't change under any circumstances. In the past, in the present, in the future, it has to remain the same. Only then it is the truth. And tell me, does the world remains the same all the time? No. Continuously changes. The body, does it remains the same? No. Continuously changes. As far as God is concerned, we don't know anything about it. But one thing we all know, that awareness in me all the time, ahamasmi, all the time, awareness of my own existence, which I am always conscious of. Even as a child, boyhood, youthhood, old age, all time, I am conscious of my own existence or awareness, and that is satyam. That is the truth. That's the only truth in everything, if you take it together. So, pratiti is that means what you know through your senses and the mind. And waking up is that anubhavam, experience inside. World, you know about it. Body, you know about it. Because knowing means you have to do it through either through senses or through the intelligence. Little by little, you get to know about it. That's all it is. And it will never be complete. Whereas, directly experiencing anubhavam inside is perfect and it is complete. Can you deny your own existence anytime? Impossible, isn't it? Body will go. But this awareness of my own existence, you can't take it away from me. That's why it is perfect. In Jagrat state, Swapnam, Sushupti, all three states, vacant state, dream state, deep sleep, this awareness exists. Awareness exists. It doesn't leave us. And only thing is, a lot of things are happening in the body and the mind at that time. But my own existence, I have no doubt about that. And that is why, because of this, you know what the problem is? Problem is this. Everybody tells you that you are going to die. But you are not getting frightened. Because you know you don't die. This is the problem. This is why even after we talk about birth, death, old age and disease, people don't get serious. Because this problem is there inside us. I don't die. I know I don't die. The body may die one day. But suppose I know I'm going to be finished with it, then I won't be the same person like that. It will be a different thing. Because I know the body will die one day. Yes, that's a fact. And because it is like that, from inside, the Antaryami is very clear about it. There is no such thing called a death. In our mind, in our intelligence, there's a thing called a death. In awareness, there is no thing called a death. You see? So this conflict is going on inside. When you are on the lower modes of nature, this will take over. Which one? Mind and intelligence. At that time, you are fearful of death. When you are in a realized state, more in the mode of goodness and in contact with the Antaryami soul inside on a spiritual platform, you don't feel the fear of death. This is the problem. This is the problem. We all have this problem. That's why they are able to question about God. People are questioning about God doesn't exist, they say. Show it to me. Why? Because this is there inside. They know that there is no such thing called a death for the self. Not fully realized level, but in a very subtle level they know about it. So this is the other aspect of it. So anyway, so you can see how little we know about our own body. Forget about the world and God and all that. How little we know about our own body. We have lived so long now. Some of us 50, 60 years, 40 years, whatever it is. So, and you always feel that I have the same body, isn't it? You're always thinking like that. I have the same body. I have the same body I have now, isn't it? But what we don't know is how many times this body has changed. Even science admits that after several years, the whole body is changing, isn't it? So, so this thing called the body, which we think that my body, and I know about this body very much, it's already dead many times in this life itself. In this life itself, this body died several times. Several times it is dead. We are thinking, no, I'm keeping the same body. This is called Maya. This is called Maya. That is why Krishna had to say in the Bhagavad Gita, Dehinosmin yatha dehe kaumaram yavanam jara tatha dehandara praptir dhirastatrana mukhyadi. All the devotees know this verse. Everybody knows this verse, is it not, in the Bhagavad Gita? Dehinosmin yatha dehe kaumaram yavanam. They think that has reached the perfection of the, I know the word, so I got, that means what? I know it. So whether I know it, I don't know it. The result is the same because it hasn't done the job what it is meant to do. So that's where the difficulty is coming. Krishna is saying here, Kaumaram. Kaumaram means that childhood is one stage. And before that, the Hinosmi, Kaumaram, Yovanam. And then another stage came, Yavanam, in between. And all the cells in the Kaumaram, the childhood age, that's all died and gone away. And then the youth came, and all the cells have died and gone away in the youth also. And then Yavanam, Jara came. Old age had come. And body is constantly changing. But the reason why we don't know about this change happening in the body, Krishna is saying that. What is the reason behind it? We don't know the change is happening in the body because body is situated in the material nature. It's not situated in us. That's a misconception. We are thinking that body is in me. No, body is not in me. Body is in the nature. Body is in the nature, not in me. And body... We know about this body. That's all. We know about this body. Like we know about the world, isn't it? Or many other topics in this world. But none of them has woken up like the way awareness is in us. Jnana Margam is very interesting. When you go, you direct your attention in this way. It's a very interesting topic. How the rishis, sages have seen the body, the world, and realizations. It's not a scientific way. Scientific way is very gross. It's very, very gross the way scientists analyze this body. They don't know anything. So many things what the Yoga Shastram tells us is unknown to them. Or they have succeeded in developing a lot of machines to operate and to stitch and to see inside, outside, all this. But if body is such a gross thing, they should have been able to do something about it. But they know very well that body is not such a gross thing. There's a lot of subtle side to this body, which they are unaware of. So here you can see, none of them, the body has not woken up like the way awareness has woken up. Awareness is like this. When you wake up, the awareness, when it is woken up properly, that is spiritual life. That is what is called spiritual life. Waking up that awareness inside, who I am, that awareness when it wakes up, that's called spiritual life, isn't it? So, so what do you see at that time? To see things in the proper way, that is what awakening means. Awakening means to see things in the proper way. So you can see here, if the Shraddha in a person has gone very deeper level, in a very deeper level, and if he gives on attention on this aspect, though he will straight away get the reality in him, awareness, experience in him of what he is. Just like my awareness of my own existence is there in me, and if when there is not a lot of activities in the mind, chittavritti is not happening, I can become more conscious of my own awareness of existence, is it not? You can be aware of it more in a deeper level. But when there is a very powerful thought waves coming through the mind, I lose that awareness and I'll become identified with the mind at that time. I lose my awareness. But if my mind is not active, intelligence is not active, more than anything, if my ahankaram or false ego is completely taken out, then I will become completely aware of my own existence at that point. Asangoyam, 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 puna puna, sachidananda rupoham, aham evaham avyayam. Brahmajnanavali says is that. Asangoyam, asangoyam. That means, due to my association with the body, association with the mind, association with the intelligence, association with the ego, what has happened is, I'm losing my awareness. That's what happens. I lose my awareness of me, who I am. I lose my awareness because of association with these impurities. They are impurities, this body, mind, intelligence, everything. So once this, once I have the Shraddha builds up in a person, that's what Krishna is talking about in this verse. Once that Shraddha becomes very strong inside, what will happen is that I will know about me in the proper way, who I am. Not through the body, mind, intelligence. Because body is not in me. Body is in the Prakriti, material nature. Just like the tree is standing there, I am standing here. I am sitting here, like the tree is standing there. That's all it is. That's all it is. But similarly the mind, similarly the intelligence, all changing one after the other, continuously changing. Body is changing, mind is changing, intelligence is changing, false ego also changing. Is it not? Every moment it is changing. Every moment it is changing. So here you can see that, so what you see through your eyes, through senses, that is what is called knowing. That's what is called knowing. So, or what you know through your mind, what you know through your senses, what you know through your intelligence, that's all knowing. Knowing. It's knowing it is actually. But, so that is why you will see in the Bhagavadam, two ways Krishna has spoken. Paroksham and Aparoksham. Two words Krishna has used there. Paroksham and Aparoksham. In two ways. Aparoksham, you can't talk about it. You can't talk about it. For example, there is another word Krishna used here, pratyaksham. You will see that word, pratyaksham. Pratyaksham avagaman dharmyam susukham kartum avyayam, he says. So, pratyaksham is this, what I see through my eyes, that is direct perception. That is pratyaksham, isn't it? or what I listen hear through my ears, that's direct experience. All that is pratyaksham. Paroksham means I am aware of my own existence not through my intelligence, but through my direct experience. If you know paroksham means if you know this, that say you studied Shastram and you came to know about your own existence, aware of your existence, that is called paroksham, through the books what you know. Whereas if you experienced it and know it, it's called aparoksham. Paroksham, aparoksham, the two different ways. Now, in the Bhagavatam, when Krishna talks about it, Krishna says, Parokshavado Vedoyam Balanam Anushasanam. He says, everything in the Vedam, when you study, you will notice one interesting thing. Everything is paroksham. Parokshavado. Parokshavado Vedoyam. All Vedam presents everything in paroksham. Why? Balanam Anushasanam. Because although we are old people, in the eye of the Shastram, we are all children. Because we have no realization. Therefore, we are children. If you have a lot of realization, then you are not children. Like Nachiketa's case, he's not a child anymore, although he was a child in the body. So, important thing is, Parokshavado Vedoyam Balanam Anushasanam. Krishna is saying, Paroksham, it is spoken in the Shastram all the time. Parokshancha Mama Priyam. Krishna says, I like it that way. Everything spoken in the Paroksham, in the Paroksham way. What idea behind that is, Krishna is saying like this, that you will know things through your mind and intelligence. You will study Shastram through mind and intelligence. You will study book and you will come to know about it. That remains as Paroksham. It is still Paroksham. Krishna wants us only up to that level at the moment. Only when the Shraddha becomes strong, Aparoksham will come. And that is called Aparoksha Anubhuti. Aparoksha Anubhuti is direct experience. There is a book called Aparoksha Anubhuti. Famous book that is. What is happening in the Aparoksham state? Completely different than the Paroksham. In Paroksham, what we are now studying is Paroksham. Bhagavad Gita, we are studying Paroksham. Bhagavatam, we are studying Paroksham. Only when that come to your experience level, it becomes Aparoksham. Krishna says in the Bhagavatam, you can see in the 11th canto, Parokshavado Vedoyam Balanam Anishasanam. Because Krishna says, we are all children in spiritual life. Small children. We don't know anything. Therefore, Krishna says, let them have Paroksham now. They are only allowed to have Paroksham. And then Shraddha increases. Shraddha grows inside. And you have become extremely fixed in spiritual life and the goal. Then Shraddha will turn this Paroksham into Aparoksham. Shraddha changes from Paroksham to Aparoksham. That is how it happens. So now you know these words. What does Shraddha means? What does mind means? What does Paroksham means? What does Aparoksham means? So we'll stop there today. We'll continue tomorrow. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Yeah, Srila Prabhupada.